get on this record. The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through shakeandwakeradio.com and being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show, and I always like to start the shows off a little plug for the station. Guys, we are run by viewer support, so if you like what they're doing and some of the content they're bringing forward, please reach in and maybe buy them a coffee every month. They'd much, much appreciate it. And a little coffee here and a little coffee there, and all of a sudden they've got a pot of coffee. So if you can do that, great. Welcome to my friend Roger Landry. I mean, anybody that's listened to my shows over the last 3 or 4 years knows all about Roger and what he brings to the table. Always great having a conversation with the man. And I know there's some stuff that he wants to get off his chest today, but what else is new? So I'm going to plug the batteries in and I'm going to let them go, guys. Here we are. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Still have to work on putting them batteries in. It hurts.
I got them in the right, buddy. I got them in. I got them in. Click, click.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Barry. It's always a pleasure to be with anybody who considers that information is vital today. More than at any point in history, information is vital today. Whilst the governments that we all live under, whether it's Canada, the United States, or any place else damn near on the planet today, are doing their best to keep vital information from you, information that you need not only to succeed, but even to live in what is the biggest catastrophe this planet has literally ever seen, people like Barry and the Liberty Beacon Project, we strive to make sure that you have that information to our best possible ability. And in that fashion, I would like to thank you once again, Barry. Hello?
Hello, Barry. Barry.
I'm sorry, guys. I had my mic muted. Bang. I'm going to my corner. always good to have you in, Roger. And I know that I read a bit of that article. I didn't get it all, but I got about 90% of that article you just wrote. And I listened to a bit of your conversation with Chuck O'Chelly. And let's talk about that.
Well, as a basically, priority today. That was the hint that I gave at the beginning of the show, whereby we're talking to people across the planet. And for anybody who thinks that our reach is only Canada or the United States, it's not true. Although there are people out there that would have you believe that. We do have a very, very broad reach. Yesterday alone, I talked to someone in Finland. I talked to someone in Poland. I talked to someone in England. I talked to someone in Australia. And I talked to someone in Canada. So if you stop to consider what I just told you, the reach they are telling you we don't have, we actually do. Why is that so important? Because what you see unfolding, and this is what the show with Chuck was about, this is what the article I wrote, the intro article for that show was all about, and what I will probably put in the intro article for this show, which I will publish on the Liberty Beacon tomorrow, is this. You are living through the biggest farce, the biggest lie, the most destructive actions ever taken by humanity against humanity. This isn't to say that in our history, because we know better, there hasn't been tyranny. We know for a fact that 60 million people were killed, in the Soviet Union, in Russia, when they went through their Bolshevik revolution. We know that Mao was responsible for anywhere from 60 to 100 million people dying. We understand that tyranny exists, but these were areas of concentration. This was either in Asia, this was in Eurasia, this was in Europe, if you're talking about Hitler, so on and so forth. What we are looking at today is a coordinated effort by less than 1% of the population to enslave and or eliminate 90 to 99% of the population because we're considered to be worthless or useless eaters. We have no place in their future. As a matter of fact, we are a detriment to this planet. You have to understand that there are researchers across the planet screaming at the top of their lungs, and there are articles on the Liberty Beacon stating that there are over 10,000 world-renowned doctors and researchers flat out stating what everybody is screaming about that's killing the planet is the freaking cold or the flu. It's been renamed and it's been repurposed. Repurposed for what? To put you in a state of fear to the point where you will take a vaccine, which is not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. What's it going to do? Why are you look, you listen to people like me telling you how bad this is. And you look around and you say, yeah, there's people that have died from it. Yeah, there's people that have come down with this and that from it. But I don't see the mass death that you're talking about. You're absolutely right. Let me explain something to you. If everybody who took it died within the first month, they would have stopped this 2 months into it. It's 18 months later, and they're still giving it. They're still giving it, and they're still forcing you to get it, whether it's by mandate or coercion or by loss of your standard of living or loss of your lifestyle. It doesn't matter. You're being coerced into taking something that already has, listen to me because this is a fact, not a guess, already has the destructive power of every single vaccine ever used in the history of mankind times 10. This is what's happening. So you explain to me why this isn't 100, 1,000 times bigger than World War II. 100, 1,000 times bigger than the Bolshevik Revolution. 100 to 1,000 times bigger than Mao taking over China. And I could go on and on and on through with every tyrant throughout history. None of it compares to what you're looking at now. It doesn't even come close. Because the fact here is they use guns and bombs. What's being used today is fear, the mechanism of fear and coercion. And what they are doing is they are vaccinating an entire planet with something that absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the most destructive pharmaceutical product ever turned loose on humanity. When I tell you that the COVID-19, not vaccines, but that's what they call them, vaccines, when the jabs are responsible for more deaths and damage to humanity than every single vaccine in history combined times 10, why the hell are they still giving it to you? Why are they still threatening you if you don't get it? Why are they shutting your life off if you don't get it? Why are these things being done when the last vaccine that crossed 50 deaths, the H1N1 in the 1970s, was pulled from the market as being too dangerous for humanity? The death toll or the crippled for life toll from the COVID-19 vaccines is already in the millions. It's not 50, but you damn right well better take it, or we're going to make your life so miserable you're probably going to go out and commit suicide. Then we still succeeded, didn't we? How am I getting this wrong, Barry? How?
Roger, every time we talk about this, I can feel the anger and the passion in your voice. We all feel the same thing now, Roger. I know that I have a hard time talking to people now. I really do. I have to control my anger because I'm looking at a society that just some people just refuse to see the trees for the forest. It's very, very frustrating. But in the same mouthful, my friend, I honestly believe that we're starting to turn the corner on this. Honestly believe that the House of Cards is about to fall. And one of the reasons that is because information is starting to get out. It's information like you're sharing right now with people. I challenge you to prove anything that Roger is saying wrong. And we think about, you know, the shows we've done in the past, Roger, how we've talked about vaccines and how the numbers on vaccines over the years we know have been fudged to protect the public from hearing that information, which, of course, would blow the vaccine right out of the water. If people really knew, now, if we take that into context and think about that being multiplied by 10, we're, like you said, we're looking at the most perfect bioweapon ever developed. We do not know. They do. I honestly believe these evil people, and I'll call them that, behind the curtains, know what the long-term effects are going to be, but the human race has no idea what's about to happen to them. I believe also, Roger, that they've created this in a certain way, like you said. If people got vaccinated and all started dropping dead, there'd be a major outcry. But if you were to develop this in such a way that it really didn't start affecting people, say, to 8 months to a year, maybe even a little bit longer, and you knew that was the time frame, it'd be a perfect weapon to unleash, because the time they do start seeing the major effects of this, it's going to be into so many people's arms that it's going to get past the point of no return. What a way to kill a population, Roger. It's absolutely insane. It is. Go ahead.
Stop and consider what we both just said. Again, if everybody started dropping dead within hours or days or even months after receiving this, it would have been stopped a long time ago. The outrage on this planet would have been 1,000 times what you're seeing today. What we are looking at is a spike protein that will, over time, cause damage to the immune system. Every time, listen to me. Every time you get a shot, you add another 150 days of spike protein manufacturing in your body. What you need to understand is, as Barry said, and I said, they can't kill you off right away. So what do? They put a component in your body that over time, and this is meant to, you've got 150 days of destroyed immunity. The spike protein literally takes your immune system to its knees. And when you get the first shot, 150 days later, about a half a year later, you notice you got to get a second one. And then about 150 days later, you got to get a third one. And then you got to get boosters every 6 months after that. Why? And pretty soon, you actually, they're already stating the boosters should probably come at about 3 to 4 months at the most. What you're talking about is your immune system being brought to its knees and kept on its knees. Absolutely. And when you've got this much of the spike protein in your body and it centers in your heart, it centers in destroying your heart and causing mitochondrial infarction, causing brain aneurysms, causing liver damage and failure, causing this doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. It probably doesn't happen in a year, but over a period of 3 to 4 to 5 years, and some would say it could last up to 10 years, depending on how many boosters you get, we're going to see a mass die-off of humanity, and very little of it will ever be blamed on COVID-19. It will be blamed on heart failure, sudden rise in heart failure. It'll be blamed on brain aneurysms. But the biggest one nobody's talking about, and it needs to be talked about because the spike protein will enhance this beyond belief. They have found, researchers have found, that people who have gone through remission, people who have been cured of cancer, people that were dying of cancer, had gone through all of their treatment, had finally been told they were, guess what, cancer-free, when they got their COVID shots.
Boom.
Boom. There's your cancer back again. What we're going to see is an explosion of terminal cancers across this planet, an explosion of heart failures, an explosion of death by brain aneurysms. That's where blood vessels, due to blood clots, blood clots, my God, the COVID vaccine, my God, we're going to start seeing brain aneurysms on a rise like we've never seen before. You will see a concerted effort to tell the world that something else must be going on, because that's not COVID doing that. No, they're absolutely right. There absolutely was never a SARS-CoV-2 virus. No nation has ever been able to show proof it exists in any purified form. So they're going to be right. It's not caused by COVID. It isn't. It's caused by what you were forced to take for the pretend COVID via the mechanism of absolute fear. Again, Barry, where have I got this wrong?
You're spot on, Roger. You know what really, really, really tears me apart about this is I'm coming at our children. And that is something that we're going to talk about here for a few minutes. But I know Steve wanted to add something real quick. So I'll let you add it, Steve, while Roger's on a two-second break here. Because once he gets going again, it's like I said, the Duracell buddy. So what did you want to say there, Steve?
I know. He's taking a deep breath. Roger, I caught last week earlier on, the middle of the week, somewhere in there. I don't know whether it was a video or an article, but it said something to the effect that myocarditis prior to 2021 was, there was like 6 cases in America. Mm-hmm. And since this year, the last 11 and a half, 12 months, there's been like 11,000 cases. Do you know if that's an accurate description or?
I would tell you it's not only accurate, but again, everybody out there who puts out these type of numbers usually errs to the side of caution. I would tell you it's probably in excess of 20,000. And I would also tell you that we have hardly ever, ever seen this in younger children. We haven't. Mm-hmm. But today, how many of our young men, because they will suffer this at a far higher rate than our young women will, but how many of our young men are we seeing? Oh, look, there was a story I saw yesterday about a soccer player. Guess what? Yeah, he had just been vaccinated. He fell on playing while he was playing on the field. How many athletes have you heard about? Yeah, they've just been vaccinated, and now all of a sudden they've got blood clots, they've got heart problems, they've got brain aneurysms. And again, this is in the younger and what is supposedly the healthier. Let me explain something to everybody listening out there. If you are 10 years old, your ability to shake the flu off, your ability to shake a cold off, your ability to shake pneumonia off is 99.98%. In other words, there ain't a whole hell of a lot of these people dying from this if they're 20 years old or under. They're just not. But if you look at what Steve just said, they're admitting it over 11,000. I would tell you it's over 20,000. But take a look at the demographic. Take a look at who's dying. These are the ones that don't die from these things, but all of a sudden they are. What is the one common denominator? Let me explain something to everybody out there. This is how you figure out what is causing an issue. Let's say only one child, the age of 10, dies of a heart attack. One child, okay, out of 1,000. And then all of a sudden, you've got 50 children. Then all of a sudden, you've got 100 children. Then all of a sudden, you've got 300 children dying of heart attacks over a very short period of time. What the researchers do is they do a lot of digging into exactly what they were doing that may have caused this. Then they look for a commonality. What do you think the commonality is?
Three guesses. Roger, question in chat. Is it safe to have vaxxed people in your house for Christmas if you're unvaxxed?
I would tell you...
I
hate like hell to even answer that question, but I'm going to give it to you straight, okay? This vaccine is, or this jab, is transmissible. That's an absolute fact. Because there are already women who were not vaccinated who have lived with or been in close contact with individuals, male or female, who were vaccinated – and all of a sudden their menstrual cycle is off the chart. They're 40 years old. They plan on it. They've lived with it for 25 years, 30 years, okay, depending on when they matured. They know what to expect, and now they're getting blood clots. Now it's not happening when it's supposed to. When it does, it's 10 times the flow they normally had, and these women were not vaccinated. But they lived in a house where husband or whatever were vaccinated. I will tell you that close contact or physical contact, especially sexual contact, is transmission territory. Is it safe to have vaccinated people in your house over the holidays? I wouldn't do it. Now, how good do you think I feel about saying that?
Yeah.
How many Christmases do you think I've just ruined? But it's a question that had to be answered. And I appreciate whoever put it in the chat.
I appreciate you answering that, Roger. And I've heard and read so many reports about what you just hit on that I would say the same thing, that, you know, if they've created a perfect bioweapon that is transmittable amongst humans, they're really kind of achieving their goal of getting this into every human body possible. That's a very, very scary thought. But if it's a reality, we're really in a situation now where it's almost going to be impossible to avoid it. You talked about myocarditis, Roger. The numbers in Ontario skyrocketed. I just read a report from the Ontario Health Department. As of 3 weeks ago, there was 563 now reported cases of myocarditis in Ontario, which is about 10 times approximately the normal over the last 10 years. The Hospital of Sick Children in Toronto has now opened up a ward, get a load of this, to deal with strokes in children. There's buses driving around Durham and St. Catharines, Ontario right now.
Kids have heart attacks too.
Yeah, signs going, kids have strokes too. Know the signs. When have we ever, Roger, in the last 50 years that you can remember, or I, or anybody else that's listening to this show, have we ever seen that kind of public service announcement come out of a government about children? Like you said, Roger, this does not affect children, but the fact that they're coming at these kids with needles right now, buddy, that, believe it or not, brings me to tears, my friend, because they're destroying people. These people are evil entities, Roger, and the only thing that I keep solace in my life being a religious person is I know one day they're going to have to answer to somebody much more powerful, and they are going to pay the price. Go ahead. All I'll say about that is these people are evil, Roger. How can anybody want to put this into a child? What's wrong in our world, buddy?
It's not the last time you're going to say something about it. It's not the last time I'll say something about it. But what I want to do is wake people up just a little bit more to the fact that if you allow the fear to overcome you, then the message coming to you will be what they wish you to believe. If you allow the fear to control your life, you have just given your life to them. Why do I say that? Because people like me, people like Barry, people like Steve, and a lot of other good people that I know, we do some research. And what we found out, and you've all heard me tell the door number one, door number two, door number three story. I'm not going to tell it again. What I am going to tell you is this. If you look at what is going on, then your only question can be, how the hell can this possibly be happening? Let me explain this to you again. A short version, okay? And no, we won't go through the theater in the doors again. Let's talk about what is obviously so insane, but yet a mass majority of people across the planet have been put into the state of fear where they actually believe this. We are talking about, our government tells us, unless we all get vaccinated, a destruction of the largest portion of the population ever seen in the history of mankind. And it will be our fault for not being vaccinated. It will be our fault. Everybody has to, beyond a shadow of a doubt and without exception, be vaccinated. Because if you start giving exceptions, and how many businesses are not honoring these religious exemptions, they're laughing at you, telling you no. Okay, let's put this into, I don't know, a perspective that you've all heard before, but I need, this is like a slap in the face, and I need to slap y'all one more time. And that's a figurative slap, not a real slap. We have about 600 people in Congress in the United States. And how many people don't work for them? And when we are told you will take the vaccine or you will not work, you will not go to the grocery store, you cannot go to church, you will take it or else. You are a danger to humanity if you don't take this vaccine. But yet they go to Congress. Listen to me, and I'll bet it's the same in Canada. They go to Congress, which includes the House of Representatives and the Senate, and they tell them, you guys don't have to take this. Hey, listen to what I just said. Okay, let's put that into perspective. These are the people who run this country. These are our leaders. They run the, I don't know, the financial sectors. They oversee them. They oversee everything, the supply chain. Oh, yeah, they're doing good at that. They oversee the laws, the mandates. These are the people we depend on to keep our society civil. Now, we are in the middle of the most deadly global pandemic the world has ever seen. Is there anybody listening to this? And you've all heard me say it before, so I'll make it short. Anybody listening to this who doesn't think if any of that was even 10% true, that our leaders shouldn't be the first people vaccinated? How the hell can you justify to me telling me that all of our leaders are exempt from the most deadly pharmaceutical product on the planet, but we're not? Tell me. Please tell me. And that's only one inconsistency. There's at least 1,000 of them, but there's a couple real big ones like that one.
Yeah, or how about our fearless leader in Canada right from day one coming forward and telling the Canadian people that the only way out of this global pandemic that's ravaging our society is for everybody to be vaccinated. No ifs, whens, wheres about it. It will protect us and stop the spread. He says that out of one side of his mouth. Then a couple of days later, he comes forward and says, well, guess what, guys? It doesn't stop you from getting it. Doesn't stop you from spreading it. All it's going to do is make you a little bit more comfortable if you do get it. So what side of his mouth am I listening to, Roger? I'm confused. Okay, and that's okay, just one example.
That was my next point.
It's crazy.
I started out with the leaders. Now I'd like to go there. Everybody needs to be vaccinated. Okay? Everybody has to be vaccinated because if you're not vaccinated, you're a danger to the person next to you. I think on your last show, I told everybody about the fact, and you just reiterated it, but I'm going to add a little to it. The fact that this vaccine, and it's not a vaccine, this jab, whatever you want to call it, okay, does not keep you from getting COVID-19. It does not keep you from giving COVID-19 because you get it, you can give it. In a real vaccine, what they do is they take a tamed down version, a small version, a tiny bit of an actual virus or a germ, and they put it in your body with other chemicals, and they allow the body to take this drummed down, way down, weakened version and produce antibodies for it. And it trains the body to produce these antibodies when it's exposed to this particular germ. So that going down the road, if all of a sudden you get exposed to it, your body has a main line of defense. That's a vaccine. But with this one, they're flat out telling you it won't keep you from getting it. Okay. It won't keep you thusly from giving it to somebody. Okay. And also, look this up for anybody who – Roger doesn't lie. They also tell you that your viral load could be as much as 200 times or more that of an unvaccinated person. So let me explain something to you. It may make you feel better, but it won't keep you from getting it. It won't keep you from giving it. And you are 200 times more dangerous than somebody who hasn't been vaccinated. Yet you've got a vaccine pass, which means you have the ability to go and super spread this thing everywhere because you have a vaccine pass. So what they are doing is creating the soldiers, the foot soldiers of their destructive army. Everybody who gets vaccinated and is proud to carry their pass around is actually the most dangerous person in your vicinity. How many people will tell you that? Barry's right. It won't keep you from getting it. Barry's right. It won't keep you from giving it. So let me ask you a question. What good is it except to make you the most dangerous person in your immediate vicinity? How many of you know that and understand that? Anybody in your vicinity who is vaccinated is 200 times more dangerous than you are.
Did you hear me, giggling in the background, Rogers? Because I always giggle at the insanity of what's going on.
Man screaming.
No, no. If we don't laugh at this, buddy, it will actually drive us insane. And I find that, people might hear me giggling in the background. I'm just giggling at the insanity of what is actually going on here, and how we're putting this out to people is very, very important.
You know how bad this insanity is? Let me get this out, Barry. I really have to. Okay.
Okay.
This is the insanity we're looking at right now. There have been over six, and I said this on your last show, there have been over 6 billion shots given. I'm not joking. Across the planet. Doesn't mean 6 out of the 8 billion people have been vaccinated. Nowhere near that, okay? Because a lot of people have had 2, 3, 4 shots, especially in areas where the vaccine has good uptake because of the massive fear they've programmed into their population. So we're looking at anywhere from 1.8 to 2 billion people who have already been vaccinated. What we have already seen in 18 months is that this is the most deadly supposed vaccine in the entire history of pharmaceuticals. Not only is it the most deadly, but it is 10 times more deadly than every vaccine administered across the planet combined. I just got done telling you how much this stuff can be transmitted. Even if we succeed, if we all get off our dead butts, get up and say, this is done, it ain't happening no more, we have 2 billion super spreaders out there who are going to tell you, yes, it is, and it's going to continue to happen. We are looking at, over the next 5 to 10 years, a minimum of 50 to 60%, and some say as much as 80 to 90% of the population dying off, even if not one more shot is given. This is already going to happen.
You're muted again, Barry.
Oh, I'm sorry for doing that. I do that so that I don't interfere with the talk, guys. But I'm going to have to move up to the bush, Roger, because everybody around me is vaccinated. Everybody I'm talking to are proud to say, hey, I've got my vax. I've got my booster. Another guy comes in, I just got my booster. Everybody's going for their boosters. People don't realize, Roger, that the next thing that's going to come forward from the pharmaceutical companies making these vaccines, so-called vaccines, is they're going to announce to the public that they're only effective for a certain amount of time, and that this vax passport. Well, I know, but this is what's coming. It's going to come. I mean, some people aren't even aware of that yet. What they're going to, of course, they're going to do is they're going to have to get the booster to keep their vax pass that they think is their new way to freedom in society active. And if they don't, the vax pass is canceled. That's what's coming next. Then with this Omicron so-called killer virus that's sweeping the world right now, Roger, this is going to blow you away. But CBC came out, our corporate broadcaster in Canada, and I got Wayne Peters sending me the link for this. He says it's true. They actually said that they were having a hard time finding any death related to Omicron. In Canada, 1 death so far. But get a load of this, Roger. Pierre Elliott, their son, our fearless leader, had a meeting with all the prime ministers or all the ministers of all the provinces in Canada about 4 or 5 days ago. And they all came out and announced all kinds of new draconian restrictions at this time of year. Unbelievable what's coming out of the government. But it came out basically the same right across the country. Every province, the same kind of new restriction. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on here, Roger. But it's based on, right now, this is a fact, only one death in Canada that can be attributed to this new killer virus. Why can't people see what's going on here, Roger? What's wrong with people? It's a joke.
Yes, it is. But if you stop to consider, but it's not the one you laugh at. It's the one you go, are you kidding me? If you to consider when viruses, and they do, when they mutate, and they do, they do get variants. Not only do they get weaker, but they get more transmissible. So they get a little higher transmissibility, but they have a much less physical impact on whoever they infect. So these doctors in South Africa are listening to, check this out on the internet, all of this hype going on about this massively destructive, it's going to kill the whole world off, the Omicron variant, that's it, lock the whole world down again because you're all going to die. These South African doctors are going, what the hell are they talking about? This thing doesn't even treat you as badly as a bad cold does. It hasn't got the knockdown power of a freaking cold. But yet, they're going to use the mechanism of fear and lies to put the entire population that hasn't been vaccinated on notice that either you're going to be scared enough now to get the vaccine, or we're going to use this as leverage to round you up, Australia, and put you in concentration camps. Anybody here doesn't believe that can happen? You ought to take a look at Austria. You ought to take a look at Australia. See what's about to happen in New Zealand. I'm not joking. Concentration camps are already here. When will the one in your neighborhood open its doors? Because if you let it, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. The biggest issue we have right now on this planet is not Omicron. It's not SARS-CoV-2. It's not the vaccine. None of these things compare to this issue. You know what that issue is? The lack of people stepping up and saying, you are destroying humanity and we've had enough of it. There are people waking up all across the planet. It needs to happen at 10 times the rate. The good thing about this is it is picking up steam very quickly. I'm just hoping it's quick enough. I've already told you that because of the vaccines already administered and the ones that will be administered between now and the day when people say this is enough are already enough to kill off at least half of humanity in the next 5 to 10 years. This is already a reality. You can't back away from it. It's already going to happen because those people who took it willingly out of fear so they could protect themselves and their families and keep getting their boosters will keep knocking people like you and I down. If I wanted to have Christmas right now with my family, and I've got 5 brothers and a sister, I've got 4 natural brothers and a sister, but 1 adopted pretty much. If I was to get them all together in my home for Christmas, I would be vaccinated.
I was just going to say the same thing. All my family back east is vaccinated, and I cannot go spend Christmas with them again, Roger. You know what? In Canada here, the government already announced this about 5 weeks ago. They announced that they're spending $50 million to build voluntary self-isolation camps. Okay?
That's what. Watch how long it's voluntary for.
Of course, Roger. I'm getting there in a second. Well, now they just announced that they're spending another $75 million to build additional camps to keep Canadians safe, folks. Are you kidding me, Roger? We are going down, and I have studied history. I'm not a historical buff. I don't understand everything in history, but I've studied Germany enough to understand how they manipulated their public, how they manipulated the people, and what they were doing prior to the start of the Second World War. And you know and I know we're almost carbon copy for everything that Hitler did, and we all know where that ended up. We don't have to discuss everything they did with the control of the press, how they brought in the paper system, show me your papers, old man, blah, blah, blah. But we are so close to that now with these vaccine passports that a lot of Canadians are openly accepting. Boy, are we in trouble, my friend. Go ahead.
This is called, I don't know. Remember the Pied Piper? Remember people talking about how he could play his music and the line of sheep behind him what he would stop at the edge of a cliff and keep continue to play his music as they willfully jumped off the cliff. Why? Because what he was presenting was exactly what they wanted. They wanted that music. It hypnotized them. It made them feel like they were part of something. It made them feel. And so what we are looking at is the, almost the identical situation today, but it's not something that we like that we're following. It's something that we've been made to fear. And anybody who doesn't understand fear is the most productive mechanism ever utilized by mankind to control man's mind. I'm going to say that again. Fear is the most effective tool ever utilized by mankind to control man's mind. You think I'm the only one who knows this? I'm a little smarter than the average bear. I'm 67 years old, and the amount of studying I've done, I work for the military-industrial complex. I spent 28 years traveling this world 80% of every year. I'm far from stupid, but I've got to explain something to you. The things I know are because of what I did. And if I know this, those who literally run this planet not only know it, they've been planning on it. Barry, you started off by saying something like they've been doing this, they've been planning for this for a long time. This has been in the works for well over a decade. We're talking about probably right at the turn of the century. Everybody out there has heard of Event 201. This is where world leaders in research and, medicine and vaccinology and all got together to discuss what would happen if the Gates of the world, the Faucis of the world, all got together and, geez, all of a sudden, everything that they threw into their simulations came up to slap us right in the face. Now, I'm going to explain something else to you that probably most of you wouldn't have figured out. This was supposed to start 5 years ago. It wasn't supposed to start a little over a year ago or almost a year and a half ago. It was supposed to start over 5 years ago because Hillary Clinton is part of that clique, and she was supposed to be the president. And all of this would have come down under Hillary Clinton, who is one of the most evil people the planet has ever seen. It was supposed to come down on her watch. Why do you think they tried to cheat? So you think the cheating was bad when Trump supposedly lost? He didn't. The amount of cheating when Hillary won, when Trump and Hillary ran, the amount of cheating was immense. What they didn't stop to figure out was Americans were tired of the bull crap the progressives were giving them, and they were ready for a Trump. So they didn't plan on him getting as many votes as he actually got. This all was supposed to happen in 2016, 2017, 2018. This would all be done by now. Why the hell do you think they had to make absolutely 100% sure at all costs? And everybody on the planet knows Trump won. Everybody knows that. That's not even a joke. It's a fact. There's actual evidence to prove that. But at any cost, Trump had to be removed from office because he was too sympathetic towards the people.
It's a tragedy that that election is allowing to be stood now, Roger, knowing what we know about the election.
I have no
choice.
Like
Trump or not. I hope that something, you know, we're all hoping that that this guy that's running your country right now, who's absolutely destroying your country, something can be done to put a halt on it. We know you have your midterms coming up next year, and that will be, of course, a turning point. But, boy, the damage he's doing to your country. Well, Roger, I can't believe that Americans are still sitting on their hands, a lot of Americans.
Well, like a lot of Americans are getting very tired of it, but let's take a few ticks on that, okay? Let's talk about prior to – all right, any of this SARS-CoV-2 crap happening. Let's talk about the United States had resurged as the number one country on the planet. Our military had been vamped And it, not that it wasn't good before that, but Trump made it a hell of a lot better. We didn't kowtow to the Putins. We didn't kowtow to the Z's. We didn't kowtow to anybody. And now, since Joe Biden took office, oh, yeah, and we were also, for the first time in probably close to 80 years, energy self-sufficient. We were producing more gas and oil within our own territories than we were importing, okay, much more. We didn't even need the imports. We were exporting a lot for the first time in a massive amount of history. Joe Biden takes office. Okay, everybody needs to understand that things happen. That he's not responsible for everything, so don't blame him for everything. But let's tick off a few of the things that maybe he should be blamed for. All right? All of a sudden, the day he gets into office, he shuts down a pipeline that absolutely stops drilling for oil on all government, so on and so forth. All of a sudden, the United States becomes energy dependent again. And we've got a president who's begging OPEC to increase production so Americans don't have to pay as much. Why don't you finish the pipeline and open up all of the oil wells and the drilling areas you shut down? No, he goes and begs OPEC. Now, that's the first one. The second one is all of a sudden the most, I don't know, consuming country on the planet when it comes to products has the worst supply chain the planet has ever seen. You go to stores and they remind you of this, of Russia or the Soviet Union when it was about to fall and the shelves were all bare and nobody could get anything, whether it was to eat, even soap, to take a bath. Mm. And you go to the American stores and you take a look. We're not quite there yet, but we're headed there. And the way things look, we're probably going to get there. Then you look at the fact that we hadn't seen inflation for even 1 month while Trump was in office. And now we've got the highest inflation since, I don't know, the end of World War II. And I could go on. You've got mandates. Mandates to do what? You want to destroy the military? You tell these guys, and a lot of the people in the military, especially the Navy, the Air Force, where these people require some brains because they're not just charging somebody with a gun. They're operating nuclear submarines. They're flying jets, the whole nine yards. You're going to tell them that this cold is a deadly weapon, and if they don't get a vaccine that's known to be fatal in far too many cases, or to give you heart attacks or brain aneurysms that will literally knock you to the ground for the rest of your life. If you don't take these vaccines, we're kicking you out. So in other words, you hand somebody a six-shot revolver in the Marines or in the Navy or in the Air Force, and you spin the cylinder and you say, point it at your head, click, okay, you're good, next. So what we're doing, we're watching the destruction of the world's preeminent military. We're watching the destruction of the world's preeminent, I don't know, airlines. We're watching the destruction of the biggest and best, the world's most preeminent supply chain. We're watching, and all of this has happened since Joe Bob got in office. Oh, gee, but don't blame Joe Bob. He's a good dude. Ask Nancy. He's the perfect president for this time.
The best ever, Roger. I mean, what kind of president?
And she's right. He is the best president at this time for this situation. It just
depends. What kind of president? What kind of president leaves $85 billion of your best military equipment in the hands of an enemy? What kind of president does that, Roger? We could run up and down this list because I follow him quite closely. I follow events down there. I don't have the memory that you do, and I don't have notes in front of me. But everything I've seen that man do since he took office, with, of course, the start of the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline, right off the bat, the attack on American energy, he has just decimated the country in a short period of time. And I know Steve wants to get one more thing in here before you leave today, Steve. Or Roger. So, Steve, would you want to add?
Yeah, Roger and Barry, I was just thinking, what better way to ensure the total destruction if, not if, when the Chi-Coms attack America than to have tens of thousands of, well, as you mentioned, Navy and Air Force pilots quit and retire.
Mm. Or dead. Sure.
Yeah,
and you're absolutely right. Yeah. Not only are you right on that point, but what people also need to consider, and I hate like hell to put Canada in the spotlight here, but what Trump found out and absolutely pushed back against hard was there were hundreds of thousands of Chinese troops invited into Canada by the guy running your country for military exercises on mm-hmm. Canadian territory. You mm-hmm. can tell me anything you want, but if all of this was supposed to happen on Hillary's watch, but Trump won, what we would have had had Hillary been elected and all of these things had happened 4 to 5 years earlier, we would have had a hostile and modern military sitting right above our border, just waiting to crash down through that border with the minimal amount of pushback. How many Canadians knew that?
Roger, you're absolutely right. And just that alone, him training Chinese troops on Canadian soil yep. using our military, if that doesn't get people screaming at the top of their lungs, we're really in trouble. This, Trudeau is the biggest traitor this country's ever seen. I do not have the words, Roger, that I can use here to describe my hatred for that man. But, you know, I believe his time is coming real soon, that we are seeing an awakening. And I agree with you what you said earlier, Roger, that we are starting to see people really start to pay attention. But you're absolutely correct that they need to happen very quickly because they're really ramping up their games. So, folks, anybody that's going home to visit people or if you're having conversations over the Christmas holidays with your friends and your neighbors, please open up your heart to them. And let them know that we are in a pile of hurt and we cannot stand back and watch this happen, Roger. We can't. Go ahead. This is a war we can't lose, buddy. Go ahead.
2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, when I was doing your show, did you ever, ever stop to think or even consider that a caller or, excuse me, somebody in the chat would ask the question, am I putting myself or my family in danger by visiting relatives who have been vaccinated over the Christmas holiday? When you have people asking that question, that immediately has to tell you the stage of absolute fear and absolute tyranny we're in. And when I, who never thought I would have to even hear that question, have to be the one telling them, destroying their Christmas, destroying their ability to be with their family if they listen to what I say. I have to be the one telling them I wouldn't visit your family if I were you. Not if you want you and your children to live.
Pretty sick, isn't it, Roger? The people that we're dealing with in society.
Barry, it's more than sick. I'm telling you with the amount of people evil. With the amount of people that have already been vaccinated, and it will be 3 billion at least, at a minimum, maybe even 4 billion, half of the population before this is actually brought to a halt. What most people don't understand is the mechanism was designed just in case something like that happened. Correct. What you would have to do is isolate every single individual who had been vaccinated or who had lived with a vaccinated person in those concentration camps in order to ensure the rest of us stayed alive. Did you hear what I just said? Because that's not a joke. It's not us that are going to end up. If we rise up and make this crap go away, you're going to have to take every one of your loved ones and all of the people we care about and put them in a position where they can no longer harm humanity. Stop and think about that. When's the last time anybody had the balls to tell you that?
Can't sugarcoat it anymore, Roger. We can't. We got to get it out there, buddy, and I love your passion. But guess what? The Nova Scotia government just came out with a public health warning that anybody that's been double vaxxed can and should not at all lengths avoid being around people that are triple vaxxed. So think about that one, folks, just for a second. What do you think about that, Roger? What are they trying to say? And like, you know, we only got about 3-4 minutes left here. So I'm going to get your thoughts on that real quick. I'm going to let you share a last thought. And as always, my friend, it is a pleasure to have you in. Like I said, I love your passion. I love your heart. I know where it's coming from. And we're just being driven crazy by what we see going on around us. Last thoughts for the day there, bud.
Last thoughts for the day. You all heard what I just said. We're going to come to the point if we do rise up, or when we do rise up and stop this, where all of your loved ones, all of the people around you who have been vaccinated need to be isolated in order to save your lives and the lives of your children who have not been vaccinated. Stop and think about what I just said. What we are talking about here, what we're talking about is we are at the point right now where we either stand up or there won't be enough of us left. If 2/3 of this planet, or even 50% of this planet, gets fully vaccinated, listen to me, the vaccinated are the biggest danger we have. They carry the highest viral load, and it is hidden under the fact that the vaccine pretty much makes your symptoms invisible. So you don't feel sick. You don't feel bad. You've got your vaccine pass, and you're going to go everywhere and anywhere you used to go. So we will have half the population of this planet being in imminent danger to the other half. Mm. This is where we're headed. Right now, that's not too far away. The question is, can we stop it? And once the deaths start to happen, what do we do with the vaccinated? And if that doesn't make you cry, you're an idiot.
I really don't know what to say with all that, Roger. It's like we're living in a la-la land, but it's not. It's in our face. It's absolutely our sworn duty right now to do everything that we can to educate our friends and neighbors. And the way you do that, folks, is you open up your heart to them. And when your heart talks, they'll know it's real. So try and do that. I know that might sound a little corny, but we're in a situation now we knew this was coming, Roger. We both knew. We've talked about it for years, that there was going to come a time where they were going to completely lock down and clamp down on society. We talked about financial ways of doing it. We talked about viral ways of doing it. And here it is. It's in our face. It's not going to go away, folks. The only way we're going to stop that is, like Roger said earlier in the show, some men really have to grow some testicles. I hate using that word, but it's how else do I describe the lack of courage we see in our society when so much is at risk? Roger,
come to TLV like Talk said, and talk about it.
Please do. Please do, folks. Please get into that platform and support what Roger's doing. One last minute. Roger, where can people find you? Then I'm going to have to let you go for another couple of weeks, but you'll be back.
TheLibertyBeacon.com is the flagship. There are 5 global news websites. TLB Talk is our new social media platform. We'll be putting a big membership push on right after the new year. I hope you'll be one of them. It's a place where you can actually find out the things I'm talking about without getting kicked to the curb or kicked off of Facebook or anywhere else for 60 days, 30 days, or having your account deleted. We are there because this country and even Canada says you have the right to know. So go where you can exercise your right to know. TLBtalk.com. And thank you, Barry. And thank you, Steve.
Roger, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, buddy. Bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Mr. Wayne Peters. And I think Steve's going to play one of my favorite Roy Orbison songs at the break here. Enjoy it, guys, and I'll be back shortly.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, and just a sprinkle of stardust and a whisper, go to sleep, everything is alright. I close my eyes and I drift away into the I'm can't help it if I cry. I remember that you said goodbye. If you had all these things, can only happen in my
second hour, folks, and thanks again for Roger coming in. Much appreciate the information he brings forward. I got a gentleman joining me here for the second hour that's been bringing lots of good information forward. I'm talking about Wayne Peters, Ethics Over Fear, and What's Up Canada. Anybody listening to my shows, had the pleasure of listening to Wayne talk. I've had him on multiple times. Welcome back to the show, Wayne. Always a pleasure to have you on. And your pet peeve of the day, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I keep expecting you to tell me that your audience is tired of my rantings and ravings, but it hasn't happened yet. So I will hit you with a couple of pet peeves. One is going to just be poking at you, a little bit of fun, just to lighten things up a little bit and to clarify things for your audience on your poster. You will not find me at themythiscanada.com, not ever. You'll find me at whatsupcanada.org or ethicsoverfear.com.
Oh, no. Annie, did you hear that? It's my fault because I got a lady that Annie makes up my memes every week, and it's my fault for not bringing that to her attention, Wayne. I don't know what to say. I am going to go to my corner right now. I'm going to go to my corner. I'll be back in a couple minutes, okay?
I'm just giving you the gears, man. To be honest.
Oh, I deserve it. I deserve it. You think I'd be able to figure that one out?
Anybody that ends up on that website is landing in a good place anyways, and there's a ton of information there, but I just could not resist the opportunity to poke at you a little bit before we get into the more serious stuff. And now a legitimate pet peeve for me is looking this afternoon at CTV's social media feed, and out of their top 10 stories, 7 of them were absolutely nothing but terrorism about this new Omicron variant, this insanity that has once again gripped our government. And the reality is that Trudeau is already accountable for more deaths than this variant. This variant has got zero corroborated deaths to Omicron anywhere in the world, on the planet. But yesterday afternoon, I got a message about somebody's family member that hung himself and left a 12-year-old daughter because they could not face another lockdown. So, Mr. Trudeau, that one is on you, and the mainstream media and all this terrorism and fear porn that they are pumping out. You are killing more people than what you are trying to pump into our brains. It's just absolutely offensive to me.
Did you hear what he just said, folks, about this new killer virus that's just sweeping the planet that instigated here in Canada in the last couple of days? New, incredibly draconian lockdown measures on society over what Wayne just said. And I was told, and I looked at one website, they recorded one death. But I don't know if that's true or not, Wayne. But CBC came out and released an article about what you just said, that there's no deaths attributed to this. So what the heck is going on here, folks? I mean, when COVID came out, all we saw was people dying in the streets of China, and they played it up, and, you know, people being hauled away in carts because there were so many of them dying. Of course, it came out that this was the killer pandemic that was going to sweep the planet. Everybody went and hid under the couches. But this thing here is not killing people. So what's going on with people's brains, Wayne?
You know, it's
I don't understand it, buddy. I don't. Go ahead.
It's absolutely there's no other way to describe it except criminal at this point. Every single thing that is going that is transpiring against Canadians and costing lives is a criminal event at this point. It boils down to some very basic deviations in the discussion that should have been identified 2 years ago, and thanks to people with ill intent, evil people, truly evil people, I believe, could not possibly plead ignorance, so then it must be willful, have allowed and engaged and endorsed and seduced this level of terrorism in Canadians. And the very first place this went off of the rails was identifying this as a natural biological event. That was the first crime against people. Nobody had approached this like it was anything but a natural event that was, you know, dangerous to people, when it is in fact been the mountains of evidence that are stacked up and absolutely being denied prove so far beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a biotech attack, not a biological event. And just changing the second half of those two word combinations, biological event to a biotech attack, would change every bit of discussion about this problem that is going on. So from that point forward, if you look at the entire levels of governance in all of the places that are afflicted by this event, you will see undeniable obfuscation by people that knew what to say, what not to say, what to ask, what not to ask, in right to the highest levels of Canadian government even. Well, and this is one of those things that sickens me, and I rant on this a little bit from time to time. Because Michelle Rempel was our shadow health minister, who never once ever asked about the veracity, the reality of this virus in any other context other than how fast Trudeau was rolling out the jabs. So not once did she ever question or ask, where did this come from? What's going on? Why did they change all of the emergency measures? Why did they throw away all of the laws and procedures to turn everything in the entire government and to a sole focus of this plandemic? So when you look at people like Michelle Rempel, who spent 15 years working in the University of Winnipeg Labs, who actually her name is on the patent document for respirator devices, she likely knew these Chinese scientists that were literally escorted and arrested and let off the property. She probably worked with them, and not once did she ask a legitimate question in Parliament. Not once, ever.
Well, you got to look who she's connected to. I mean, the World Economic Forum, she's globalist to the core. She's just another puppet. We know that, Wayne. But she gets up there like she's the hero of the nation.
Working hard for you in Ottawa.
Working hard for you in Ottawa. I mean, come on, guys. She's a player, but she's just a player with lipstick on. That's all she is. And people are seeing through her, Wayne. I don't have anything. I don't listen to her talk anymore because it's just controlled opposition propaganda.
Absolutely.
Don't give her a weird. Yeah. Well, at one time I was commenting on her because a lot of things she was saying was resonating with me. But that, of course, as you know, is controlled opposition. This is done on purpose to get people into a mindset. And now we really know what she's all about, what her connections are globally. You look at Teresa Tam's connections, Wayne. I mean, all you got to do is go look at her connections, folks, and you'll go, what? This is the lady that's telling us how to handle this worldwide killer pandemic that's killed no more people than a bad flu. And if you look at the numbers, Wayne, and that's what I challenge people, they got to look at numbers because the data is out now. They can't hide the data. And if you take time to go look at the data, you'll come up with some incredible questions. If you don't, then you're brain dead. But the data tells us, Wayne, that this is no different, based on the death line, than things we've dealt with for the last 15 years. Am I correct in saying that?
You're very correct. And as you know, Dr. Peter McCullough, the most published doctor on the subject in North America, is a friend of mine. And when I listen to him saying to people that, you know, like, this is just insanity, this new variant, if you put Delta as number 10 on the scale, this new so-called variant is only at like a level 4, but we've gone into full-blown Stasi land again over this kind of stuff. You know, like, it's just what people need to understand. People aren't figuring out why this isn't making sense. It's not supposed to. Now, if we connect the dots on a couple of the things that I just came out of the gate with on this, the fact that this is a biotech attack, not a biological event, and that our so-called leadership, our watchdogs for our health and safety and wellness, are controlled opposition. What does this tell people? No government has ever collapsed because it was just incompetent. They will fail. They will go into bankruptcy. They will do all of those things. But what we're at is not because of incompetence. It's because of infiltration. And when you look at these people, Tam and Rempel and all of these other graduates of
Bonnie Henry,
Schwab's World Economic Forum, Yagmeet Singh, Mr. Trudeau, and several others that sit in high levels of our Canadian government, this is infiltration, people. This is infiltration. They have declared and are waging literally a biological warfare on the population of Canada, and we are debating whether we should put masks on our kids. Are you mental?
Exactly. What a distraction. What we have in our Canadian Parliament, folks, from anybody listening in the States, is we have the Liberals with 151 seats. Now we have the NDP with 25, which gives them 176. So basically, these two collaborating parties, which we know they are, collaborating, all kinds of back deals being made, can basically do anything they want in this country with no recourse from the Canadian people. That system has to change, Wayne, because we have no way of stopping what these people are doing outside of the legal recourses that we're going through. But then we know how corrupt the court system is. We know how corrupt the RCMP is, how that's being exposed now, how organizations like Mounties for Freedom is growing exponentially. We got a big battle here, buddy, because their power is so deep now. They've got their fingers in so much of our society. It's like a cancer that's just growing at an exponential speed. But here comes cannabis oil. It's going to kill it all, Wayne.
Well, you know, there's a couple of ways of
trying to be funny.
there's a couple of ways of looking at how this is going to wind up. And really, this is a war. By every definition, the only difference is we're not using tanks and bullets. But make no mistake, it is no less lethal. The only difference is the casualties of war in this war are the unsuspecting civilian population. not the military, although they are just as susceptible to this, what is going on, as everything else. Why? Because we have literally a foreign agenda to collapse our world, our economy, our everything that we know and think of as our nations, America, the Canada, Australia, and all of the free democratic societies are all being waged war upon by all of this. And this is literally a war of attrition, because if you look at sites like Deagle that forecast 11 million less Canadians by 2025, and then you cross-reference that to the people that are telling us flat out that if you've been jabbed, chances are you've got up to 3 years to potentially survive this experiment. That pretty much, from different points of evidence, tells people that they should be asking some serious questions, if nothing else, long before they go and run out and jab their kid with one of these experimental cocktails, when there is absolutely zero evidence that their kid has any danger to them from any of these so-called alleged viruses. Mm. It's going to be a very conservative world 3 years from now.
It's actually 99.9997% chance of a child never coming in contact with this or having an effect on any children. So right now we're sticking this in our children. We hear about all these reports of adverse effects with our children. They're going to kill people. They're going to kill our kids, Wayne. And that is something I have a really hard time wrapping my mind around, just how evil these people are. But there's no description for this, because anybody that would harm a child knowingly, there isn't a place on this planet for them, buddy. But that's what we see going on. And we see parents lining up to inject their children. We see the Scarborough, the Toronto Zoo yesterday had a big deal going on. Bring your kid in, free admission. They get a bowl of ice cream as long as they take the jab. Are you kidding me, Wayne? Are you kidding me?
The level of seduction being used and engaged by so-called persons of authority is no less heinous than Joseph Mengele in World War II. No less heinous.
Absolutely.
They are going on Sesame Street and seducing your children to go and stand in line for something that will potentially harm them when there is nothing for them to fear. And not just potentially harm them. There is a 4 to 6 times higher risk of them being harmed or killed by this virus or by this injection than there is from any of these natural events. 6 times higher. Now, there's so much of this going on. I've got a team that's been working on this. It's on a project that just kind of stumbled across this project, and they started looking at local obituaries and seeing overflowing obituary columns with people just died unexpectedly.
Yep.
Suddenly died.
Suddenly died. Yep. Everywhere.
You know, between the ages of 20 and 45. This is an epidemic of sudden deaths, but nobody is talking about that.
That's a tragedy, isn't it, Wayne? Our mainstream media should be bringing this attention to bringing to the Canadian people's attention. It just goes to show you how much our media is controlled and how corrupt they are. But their day's coming. Their day's coming too, Wayne.
Every day, this is corroborates what I started to say when this first came out. Why jabs? Because trains and gas chambers were too messy. The result is exactly the same.
People, you know, here's a little project for you folks. I read the Nuremberg Codes this week, and then I watched the movie. And, you know, when I found out, I did a little research on the movie that Alex Baldwin did about the Nuremberg trials. And the statements made by the defendants in that trial were based on historical facts that they stated in the actual trials. So I watched the movie. And you know what? If you listen to these maniacs talk, Wayne, and then compare it to what we hear going on in our own government right now, it'll actually, folks, it'll send chills up your back. Do it, because it sent chills up my back when I listened to like guys like Speer and Mengele, and all these guys were up for trial. What they actually did to the Jewish people, how they manipulated the German population to turn on the Jewish people. We'll see the exact same thing here now, but just take Jews out and put unvaccinated in the same sentence. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, it was I don't think people believed how far we were going until they actually saw in New Brunswick this past week, where the New Brunswick government had the week before announced that they would leave it up to the businesses to decide who could come in for groceries or who couldn't. And one of the local farmers market, then decided that they would enforce vaccine mandates or vaccine passports and starts telling people that they weren't allowed to have food. This did not fly very well. And the company that announced that they were going to do this, and this, you know, it's kind of sickening, as they did their very best marketing, virtue signaling, politically correct pitch and saying, oh, thank you to the New Brunswick government for giving us the rights to become apartheid anarchist Stasi, and we look forward to serving you. Well, that didn't fly, and they have since gotten the Gillette treatment and have recanted on that. And that's the significant part of me telling the story, is not to horrify people that, yeah, they're literally going to tell you you can't eat if you're not vaxxed. But power of the community is where the true power in all of our lands actually lie. And when exercised, when the court of public opinion comes together and rules and lays down a verdict, that is ultimately what will rule the day. And the sooner we figure this out, that this is the highest jurisdiction in every land, we do not need Trudeau or Tam or Freeland to tell us what we can or cannot do at Christmas, because why? We supersede them as far as jurisdiction. The only difference is we don't choose to enforce our jurisdiction nearly often enough. And that I lay at the hands or at the feet of the Canadian people. The very instant we decide to say no and actually adjourn the court of public opinion, and I'm not just talking about the random pockets of people saying no, that's not enough. We need to, in every community, stop this nonsense, because this is absolutely foreign-directed, top-down ideology. So from outside of the country, it comes to these cronies, these useful idiots that actually believe they are doing some good in enforcing these contractually obligated foreign policies. And the bottom line of it is, we get to say no. But we just are too afraid of being extricated from our society. This is the power of this apartheid that they have created, is to keep us from adjourning a court of public opinion. But what they're going to see very, very quickly is that the numbers are skyrocketing of the adverse reactions. The people's being harmed by this. That's who these governments and these tyrants are going to need to fear. You know, there's two different sides of this. There is buyer's remorse for those that got the jab, and those of us that did not get the jab, there is no buyer's remorse. Who, in a situation like that, wants their money back or wants justice? It's not me. They haven't harmed me. But those people that they have harmed, those are going to be the ones that they're going to have to watch out for.
Well, the way it stands right now, unless they're served a notice of liability, there's no recourse for people that have been vaccinated. If they're damaged in any shape or form, you can't go back to the manufacturer. You can't go to the government. So you're basically on your own, unless, like you said, Wayne, a notice of liability is issued, and you go after the people that actually administer it. Is that correct?
Yes and no. A notice of liability is exactly that. It is nothing more than a notice. It is an accumulation of knowledge that is put together on a piece of paper to explain how liability actually works. It in itself holds no weight. It is not a court-recognized document or any of those things. But what it will do is it will establish intent. If you inform somebody and you give them the – if you notify them that everything that they are doing are criminal, at that point, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If they choose to move forward with their intent, then they are admitting to knowing and committing the crime. At that point, things change. And this is where ethics over fear is going to come in to play a significant role in the new year as to how we're going to be able to deal with this. The challenge is that the level of awareness out there has grown so exponentially in the last couple of months. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times more people are aware that there's a problem. And they have not got the foundation of information, knowledge, and truth to understand what is going on. So there is this intense sense of urgency and panic amongst those that are have just started to wake up and to what is going on, or have just started to ask questions. And that sense of urgency and panic isn't necessarily reflective on what is actually happening to counter all of this. And there is some organizations that have invested a serious amount of time and energy and resources into exactly that. So we have to find a way to balance this sense of urgency within the new people that are coming to us with an understanding of that, okay, relax a little bit. You are the law-abiding citizen in this. But unfortunately, the wheels of justice are the slowest moving wheels that there are, and we have to catch our breath a little bit and to stop making decisions based on panic and pressure, and to find a community group or organization that is doing the right things to take those steps. And this is where, moving into the new year with Ethics Over Fear, we're going to be taking some of those next steps with legal actions based on misfeasance. And that is a crime. Now, they can provide the government or the so-called government. I can't call them that anymore. To me, they are nothing more than rogue service agencies. They have given themselves, civil liability and indemnity here, no accountability there. But at the end of the day, when it comes to criminal law, nobody, not the Prime Minister nor the Governor General, is above criminal law. Now, we can talk and get into the semantics about ethics breaches and violations and the Human Rights Department and all those things. But the bottom line of that is all of those organizations and foundations have no teeth. They are not criminal law. They are just basically a babysitter saying, you shouldn't do that. You were a bad boy. Go sit in the corner for 5 minutes. They are not criminal law, and they have no bearing on enforcement. Criminal law is a different matter, and nobody in Canada is to be above criminal law. This is where it is so imperative for people to understand the significance of the police organizations fighting back, because they need to be supported, because they're literally addressing the fact that their superiors, their leadership, are a part of this criminal organization. By lack of enforcement, signals endorsement.
Okay. Yeah, just go WikiLeaks Brenda Leckie and look at her background, folks, and you'll fall off your chair. Just an example of what Wayne's talking about. You know, I'm engaging in conversations now with RCMP officers here in Canada. I never thought I'd be doing that in my life, Wayne, but there's RCMP now that are genuinely fighting for our country. And like you said, we really need to get behind these police officers that are coming forward. And there's multiple police officers coming forward now and taking a stand, that we really have to get behind them, because it's kind of like almost our last line of defense. Am I correct?
When you hear police officers saying, my boss was a crook, he knows, and I was forced to leave because he knows and he won't do anything. Folks, we got a problem. We've got a problem. The challenge is that more of these officers that feel this way, until the mass of the public they know and believe is there to support them, they're between a rock and a hard place. And I don't just mean for their jobs. They face a different level of persecution and punishment from average people. It's very different world that they live in. So it's interesting because I've been interviewing some officers lately, more coming, and I'm pretty straightforward with them. You know, it wasn't that long ago, if I'd have seen them turning left down the street, I'd have turned right down the first alley because that was just,
now we love them.
And here we are, you know, seeking each other out to have meaningful conversations with, because at the end of the day, this is bigger than our jobs individually. It's bigger than us as individuals. We are literally in the battle for humanity, good versus evil. And it doesn't matter what color of a shirt you've got on at the end of the day. When you look down the pipe at what is coming for your children and grandchildren, if we don't do something about it. So this is a part that encourages and inspires me, because these guys typically would never have anything to do with us. And here they are taking off their badges. This to me is the equivalent of, you see these videos in France where they're throwing handcuffs on the ground saying no more, they won't do this. It's the same thing. And people need to embrace that and rally behind that and find courage. If we don't start taking responsibility for our own nation, Papa Trudeau is going to have you lined up every 83 days just for your next dose of the experiment, just so you can get a paycheck. Does that sound like the kind of world that anybody wants to live in? I mean, he's got 15 of these things pre-purchased for us already.
Contracts made, signed, every Back company.
Before they're produced.
Yep. It's a done deal. Well, wait a second. Hold on. He said after two jabs, everything was going to go back to normal. And people, you know, Wayner, people are just screaming for their normal lives. Like, where were we a couple years ago when everybody was just going about living their life without all this crap? And now we're in a segregated society. We've gone from 15 days to flatten the curve to a complete destructive mechanism for everything that we hold dear in our lives. And I couldn't say that loud enough, Wayne. This is absolute insanity. What my call every week on these shows, Wayne, is people, men especially, really have to step up to the plate. And Mama Bear, please, look at what they're doing with these injections. We had 400 adverse effects reported from one hospital in Calgary the first week that they rolled out these injections. And I guarantee you, Mark or Wayne, they're doing everything they can to cover the numbers of adverse effects being reported in children. Talk about the Hospital of Sick Children's new ward in Toronto. Tell people about that, Wayne. And if that doesn't get questions in your brain, go ahead.
The numbers are impossible to decipher because you can't believe any of it. But what we do have to look at and know and understand and believe that there is a real problem is when they come out with iteration 3.3 of the 5 to 11-year-old stroke codes, stroke protocols. That means they have gone through 3.3 iterations of developing this stroke protocol for babies. This is knowingly admitting that they are creating a problem, because this problem never existed before they came up with this cult-like agenda of jabbing kids with this concoction. So now it's problem, reaction, solution. Now they've created a problem. Now the reaction is, oh, they can look like heroes because they've developed stroke protocol, because don't you know babies have strokes too? And now they can continue with this agenda of jabbing kids with concoctions and manifesting new miraculous medications so that we move to this completely unrealistic pharma state, this vaccination arms race. I prefer to call it a vaccinations in arms race. It's mind-boggling to me the willingness of people to trust a government and a media corporation that they know, they full well know, is absolutely gaslighting and terrorizing them to no end. And it's this desperate mindset, and it really shows its face to me when I put out a report or a post or a story, and for 3 months straight, everybody will agree that the mainstream media is lying. They're lying. They're lying. They're lying. I'll put out a post that is challenging or is new, and then they will use the mainstream media to try and tell me that I'm lying. or that I'm fake. you know what I mean? So this is, you know, this, I see this cycle repeating itself, you know, and it's interesting because I just went through this again 2 weeks ago when I got a report out of a different country that of that something that CTV had reported in Canada or had reported about Canada. But here's the tricky part. They reported it about Canada, but they didn't report it in Canada.
In Canada.
So, right. So it came to me from a foreign land, and then I got accused for the next 10 days that this was fake news because they had scoured all over the Canadian sites and they couldn't find it anywhere. So I must therefore be fake. But yet here we are on exactly the day that I called for it, enduring the same garbage that I reported in the first place.
You know what? I figured the whole Canadian government took lessons from Ravine, you know, because they've got society basically in a state of hypnotism right now, Wayne. It's like people cannot, well, they can't. You think about it, you know, anybody that's got any kind of a level of intelligence, we're supposed to be intelligent people. We're supposed to have a fairly high level intellect. The old saying growing up in our lives that we've heard 1,000 times is trust nobody, trust nothing until you can verify it yourself. The fact that Canadians can't, especially parents that are lining their kids up to take these jabs, can't take an hour on the internet and go find some of the opposing information on this. To me, there's no excuse for that, Wayne. You know, we're the guardians of our children. They don't know what we're injecting or allowed to be injecting into their bodies. But as a parent, there's no excuse for you not to know that there's all these negative effects. Go to the World Health Organization. Go to government-controlled sites right now and read the reports that are coming out. Go to VAERS. Go to all these different sites and look at the numbers. Go to government sites. The data's out there now, folks. There's no excuse, Wayne, in my world to understand why people cannot do that. That's your kind of like that's your minimum duty as a responsible parent. Am I not correct?
It's our responsibility.
It is. How can you excuse it?
What wild animal has a child and then just lets a foreign critter come and harm it?
Yeah.
Even the dumb beasts know better than that.
It breaks my heart, Roy. It really, you know, when it comes to the children, Wayne, this is just something that, you know, I get gimples when I'm talking about it because children are so precious and they're so dear to us. It's what being a human being is to love your child, to nurture that child, to make sure that child has a good chance in life. And here we've got parents that are lining their children up to get into a zoo for a day, allowing this to be injected into their kid's body. I just, there's no excuse for it, folks. I don't know how else to explain it. You guys that are doing this, you better wake up or you're going to go to hell. Excuse me for saying that, Wayne. I don't know how else to describe that because there's just no excuse for it, folks. The information's out there. Go ahead.
When children are being harmed and they're being and they're dying and their lives are being altered forever, and this is not a natural event, at what point do people wake up and say, wait a minute, maybe we should do something about this. Maybe we should ask a question. Maybe there's something to all of these people that are trying to have a debate where no debate is allowed. And if no debate is allowed, then is it really science? Because science is never it never stops evolving. You have to question science. If you cannot question science, it is not science. If it is not evolving and more information is not coming, then it is not science. So if there is no ability to discuss anything, if all you have anytime there's a discussion comes up is you have censorship and punishment, people need to start asking themselves questions. And, you know, is there more to this? And the sad part of it is anybody that has taken a step beyond that and understands that without questions it's no longer science, but yet here we have our mainstream media and our corporations that are pumping all of this stuff. Who's actually responsible for the people that are dying? Because they're not dying of this magical, invisible enemy. They're not dying. Children don't naturally have strokes and heart attacks and myocarditis and pericarditis. So the fittest soccer players in the world don't generally drop dead at a dozen a week to heart attacks. At some point, these people have to start questioning, not just questioning the media and the government, because once they start to do that, they will start to realize that the government and the media is responsible for more death in Canada than this virus ever. It's so hard to even call it a virus, but I don't know how else to describe it. Because this is the acceptable thing that people understand. This biotech warfare being waged against us has killed far more people than a natural virus would have. And they are intent on only doing stuff that promotes further death.
Exactly. You know, Wayne, just what we talked about earlier in the show, I mean, people that you talk to, folks out there that are still kind of wondering what's going on, maybe they're starting to pay a little bit of attention. Maybe they're still completely brainwashed. But just putting the fact to them that we are now seeing in Canada, and it's almost a blanket copy of in every province. After Trudeau had his meeting last week with the premiers, all of a sudden, all these new draconian measurements are in place for a so-called variant, folks, that hasn't killed a person yet. Put that to your friends and ask them if there's anything about that that makes any sense at all, because it's not designed to make sense. It's designed to put your brain into a state of chaos. They're very good at doing that, Wayne. They are. This is all about scrambling your brain. Add a few chemicals here, a few chemicals there. Let's talk about what they've done to us for the last 15 years. We could talk about all kinds of things like nanotechnology. What really is this getting into our body? What are they spraying in the skies? All these weapons that have been unleashed on us. We haven't even touched on GMOs or anything. Everything they seem to do is destructive to the human being, period. Show me something they've done that is conducive to human health in the last 50 years, Wayne. I'm waiting. Tick, tick, tick.
The initial question there, I'll try and answer that first.
I got off on a few there, sorry, bud.
You did.
It gets me going down rabbit holes.
I can't speak for the doctors, but I can express that just from what, without getting him onto my show to ask them explicitly that question, just from everything that they have said to me over the last 9 months, there is not one of them that believes that there is anything that is to be taken into account or any measures. There is nothing about this new variant thing or narrative or anything that has any credibility or any reason to change or alter our daily life or patterns in any way, shape, or form. I think I can be safe in saying that, because I don't want to speak on behalf of the most credentialed people in the world when I've got them at my disposal. But they would be unanimous in saying, like, this is just insanity, this is gaslighting. And to the extent where his name escapes me at the moment, but there's a doctor in the States who has literally put up $2 million bounty for anybody that will come in from the pro-vax side of the fence, will just come and sit down and have a debate with him. He'll pay him $2 million cash just to come and sit down and do that. Do you know, to this day, weeks later, there is still not a taker on that? So I'm going to actually reach out to Dr. McCullough and see if we can't do a mock-up of this. I'll do it for nothing. I will go and I will get all of the pro-vax information that they've got, and I will gladly go and sit at the table and spew all of this garbage out, because none of them have the guts to stand up for their stuff. So I will go and defend them. I will take all of their best evidence and science that they're providing to justify and seduce the Canadian population into submitting to this gene therapy experiment. And I will do this for nothing, never mind $2 million.
Oh, it will go viral overnight, Wayne. Wouldn't that be nice? They'd actually make them answer for what they've done to us over the last almost 21 months now of suicide in society. That's what I call it. because we are committing suicide as a knowledgeable free society. We are on a ticking time bomb right now. But you know what, Wayne? We still have time to turn this around. Even though it sounds really bleak right now, we know their power base is expanding every day, that more and more people are injecting this stuff into their body. I still believe that we have a window of opportunity to stop it, but it's going to take a major effort by people to make that happen, period.
You know, I think that window is already open. And it's just that window is a little bit farther off the ground. We've got to stack a few people up and stand on a few shoulders so we can start piling through that window. And here's what we're going to see that happening exponentially quicker over the next 60 days. Mm-hmm. I know there's lots going on. I pray that I'm wrong, but I bet that I'm not. In the fact that I've seen this since the beginning. People don't find their courage until they have nothing left to lose. Once they have had, and you know, in all fairness, I am no different than that. I never got in front of the camera. I never started doing a thing about this. I went to a couple of rallies and protests, but I never actually did anything about this until I was literally on the street, homeless, no place to go, nowhere, nothing to do. I had nothing left to lose. So then it became, well, why not? And you know what? Really, really quickly, within the next 60 days, there is going to be millions of people in North America that are going to hit that point with nothing left to lose. Do you know why? Because the trucks are going to stop rolling. And the instant the trucks stop rolling, everything that we have said is going to transpire. For 2 years, I have been talking about the manufactured destabilization that they were going to do. They were going to, increment by increment, destroy our economy and destabilize it, and bit by bit, pull a card out of the pile until it all comes apart. And you know what? We have got there. Because now they're telling the guys that move our bread, that move our lumber, that move everything that we consume, that they have to do this too. And you know what? They ain't going to do it. Yep. They are not going to commit suicide to remain politically correct. And I'll tell you why they won't. Because those people that drive those trucks, I spent 10 years in a truck. They do not conform because they are survivors. They have to think. They have to use critical thinking 24 hours a day. They are incessant. They are unstoppable. They are non-negotiable. They get shit done. And when they don't believe in something, good luck. And those people are about to say no. When the new laws drop and they tell them, you've got to have this job before you drive your truck again, guess what?
Yep.
You are not getting your toilet paper, so you can forget about fighting at it over it at the grocery store even. You aren't going to get squat. And you know what? There is nothing left for people to lose at that point.
You think toilet paper apocalypse is bad? Just wait, folks. Hey, listen, I got a question here in PR chat. It's one of the listeners asked if you think these new restrictions are to delete Christian faith, the Christian belief that they're imposing on us.
They are absolutely a part of the war of against good. Faith has a lot of different wrappers. But in Canada, we have been predominantly a Christian nation. Right into our Constitution, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And Mr. Trudeau has nothing that he hates more in Canada than old stock Christians. So every opportunity that creature has to inflict pain and punishment on Christianity, he absolutely will. Now, we've got to understand this clown a little bit. This is the clown that at 7 years old, his mom was standing him up naked in his front window, telling him that he owns this whole world. This is the boy that at 7 years old, standing naked in his mom's front room window, watching the TV news where the people in Alberta were throwing cabbage and tomatoes at his dad in the train.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that, Wayne. I did not know that. Keep going. This is good. This is good.
He made the newspaper.
Oh man, I missed that one. I did. That's pretty bad.
The newspaper even. That's the only reason I bring this up is because this is people can corroborate this on their own. They can go and find that, and if not, I can send it to you. But this. So we have to understand where this thing's hatred comes from. He saw his daddy, who he was touted was the king of all kings, being treated like scum in Western Alberta because he was scum to Western Alberta. But that left a deep-seated hatred for him because Western Canada is predominantly Christian, not Catholic, and they hated his father. So he grew up with 40 years of burning, seething hatred for Christians and Western Canadians. Who doesn't think for a second that this guy is not going to use his power, to try and punish those people? So every holiday, every Christian holiday, there will be a penance to pay from this evil totalitarian. Mark my words, every single Christian holiday, no different than China.
Yeah, well, China's his role model, and he just loves their dictatorship. And boy, I'll tell you, he's not that far away from getting in Canada if people don't wake up to this. I didn't think I'd be able to say that in my lifetime, Wayne, but I can honestly say right now that I believe if we don't put a stop to this in the very near future, we might just lose this battle. And I can't even fathom that thought, my friend. But not being realistic, not a chance. Okay, the worst case. Okay, Wayne, listen. Wayne, the worst case scenario is that we do lose it. We're not going to lose this. We can't lose this. But what we're dealing with here, folks, is a man that Wayne just said he is so evil. But he's got this beautiful smile on his face all the time. And Canadians were just enthralled with this new, incredibly vibrant prime minister that was going to do everything good for the country. Boy, I'll tell you, he has just put us into a wrecking ball. And now we're really starting to see the effects of that in our society, Wayne. Go ahead.
Well, he's doing what he needs to do to tick off those boxes on the attaboy list to show that he is politically reliable to that one world government, and that he will continue to do the demolition job on Canada so that they can rebuild Canada in their image. That's at the end of the day, they're doing things. I am looking into a report now where they literally over these COVID measures have moved an entire tribe of Indigenous, and the very minute they moved them into a new secure quarantine location, they started mining on their lands.
This goes
back to something that I uncovered 2 years ago with the Myland pilot project that they announced. If people go and look at all of the places where they announced these pilot projects for migrants, every one of these areas is rich beyond all measure compared to any other country on earth. All of these regions are rich in all of the things that they need to build their smart cities moving forward, to build their gadgets.
Just a coincidence, Wayne. Jeez.
Just a coincidence. This giant land grab that they're on to try and steal Canadians' land, and they just cannot wait to get their sticky little hands on this. Meanwhile, we've got the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers coming up to Newfoundland this week because the Newfoundland government paid them $5 million to come up there and tell them which is the best parts of their infrastructure that they should sell off in Newfoundland.
Oh, my God.
True story.
There's so much going on, Wayne, that some of this stuff I'm not even to keep up with. I mean, I'm getting bombarded with links all day here. And some of it, just go like, no, that can't be real. That can't be real. And then you find out, yeah, it's real. Boy, are we in a la-la land right now. But you know what? Anybody that's, like I said, with Roger in the first hour here, anybody that's really been following governments for a length of time knew that this was coming. That there was going to be a time coming when they wanted to completely clamp down on society. And then if you go read the Great Reset COVID-19 by Klaus Schwab, that will cross the T's and dot the I's. I've actually read a little bit of it. I got a copy of it here, Wayne. I'm starting to read it. And boy, it's just like reading a newspaper, folks. It's just uncanny. Go ahead.
Yeah. I saw this quote yesterday, and I had to share it because it was so profound and so simple, and people still don't get it. And even when I post it out on the social media platforms, people, they just kind of they look and it doesn't click into them. But think about this for a second. If someone can impose restrictions on your life without your consent,
yeah,
does that not make you their slave?
When you lose body autonomy, Wayne, you've lost it all. Period.
When they can tell you when you can sit, when you can stand, when you can go to the grocery store, who can come to your house, whose house you can go to, and when, are you not a slave?
That's a free society for you, isn't it, Wayne?
Oh, unbelievable. We are so far removed from being a slave.
I know, I'm being facetious, of course, buddy. You know, I do try and inject a little humor once in a while, Wayne, because if I don't, like I said many times, if I don't laugh at some of this, I literally will go insane. So it's a good release. It's a good release for me, buddy. It is. I always, and then, you know, I say this, it sounds, this sounds really kind of corny, but you know, at the end of the day, folks, before you go to bed, watch a video on YouTube of a little kitty cat playing with a little doggy or some animal being rescued, and put that in your brain before you go to bed, because what we're dealing with right now really has a negative effect on your dreams, my friends. It does. So make sure you do that, because it seems to work for me. I've had some pretty crazy dreams here in the last month, Wayne. I don't even want to talk about some of them. I'm not kidding you. And vivid dreams. So I don't know why that's happening, my friend, but we're not going to talk about that. But listen, you know, Wayne, it's a real joy to have you in, buddy. I love your knowledge and what you bring forward for the people listening to this show right now. We only got about a minute left, so I'm going to let you share with people where they can find you, and hopefully I'll get you back here in the very near future.
Well, I think I've decided that I need to take a little bit of break. I got told yesterday, could you at least try to be a little bit Christmassy? And I kind of thought to myself, well, I think then I guess I've been doing it all wrong. So it's probably a good thing for me to just turn off the airwaves for a week or two and just work on some of the stuff that we want to bring out. We've got a lot of information to bring out on whatsupcanada.org, as well as ethicsoverfear.com. We've just been kind of waiting for a little bit of a lull in the shootings so that we could get a whole bunch more stuff put together up there, and an exciting new legal action that we're going to be able to bring to the people and help them with. And at the end of the day, God wins, but we have to help them. And that means that we have to do our part, and that means bringing law and order and justice back to our land, and there is a way to do that. Don't pull out your pitchforks and your torches yet, folks, but get over to Ethics Over Fear and get your hands on some of that paperwork, because right now it's probably the most effective thing that you can do is get a hold of that, learn it over the holidays, and we will see you in the new year with some ammunition that will absolutely make a difference. And in the meantime, we will keep plugging away, doing what we're doing, bringing the uncomfortable truth to those that don't necessarily like it.
Well, hey, Wayne, thanks for joining me on Sunday. I know you do tremendous work all week long. I know this was a day of rest, but thanks for coming and sharing an hour with me. I look forward to our next conversation. You let me know when you're ready to come back, buddy, and I'll always have a slot on my show for you, my friend.
Bye. Well, kind of shut down things till January 4th. So Merry Christmas. Stay blessed. God bless. Stand strong. Stand free. And we will make Canada Canada again, because at the end of the day, God wins. Thank you all.
Okay, Wayne, bye for now, bud. Bye for now. Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with Mr. Billy Joyce. And boy, he's got some information for you today that's going to knock your socks off. Back in a couple minutes.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Well, welcome back to Third Hour, folks, and thanks again for Wayne for coming in. I enjoy my conversations with that guy immensely, and I know he'll oblige me again in the near future. But Third Hour, I kind of, well, I won't say it's the best till the end, but a very, very good friend and a great person to talk to as far as bringing information to the public. And of course, I'm talking about Billy Joyce. You know, Billy took a break there for a while from doing podcasts, and now he's back with an absolute storm. And I got to thank him for joining back in on the fight, because we did miss you, Billy. And some of the podcasts you're putting out really are hitting home with me. Some of the information you're bringing forward, it's got to wake people up. So that being said, welcome back. And I always like to start my show with your pet peeve of the week, bud.
Well, Barry, it's an absolute pleasure to be back. My pet peeve of the week, I've been on YouTube for 10 days and I've already have a strike. Censorship is probably the biggest thing, the biggest obstacle facing Canadians, facing pretty much patriots worldwide, because the mainstream media is either blatantly lying or telling half-truths or simply just covering stuff up. And I do believe we are in the midst of World War III, and it's unconventional war, and it's information warfare, and it's literally a battle between good and evil, and we're being censored in the whole thing. Regular people are not getting the both sides of the story. And I think what's happening now is we're reaching a tipping point where people are beginning to wake up, but we can get into that. My pet peeve mostly is censorship. It's making it very difficult for the information to, I don't know, how would you say, spread exponentially.
Yeah. You know, what I'm seeing now in society, Billy, and I've noticed this. Well, I noticed it yesterday because we had a little get together here in Terrace yesterday. And there might be a few people in Terrace listening to the show right now. But the one question I was putting forward, I was mingling in the crowd and I had an opportunity to speak for a few minutes yesterday. But the question I was putting forward to people that I was talking to, complete strangers that I hadn't talked to before, is I was asking them how many of their friends and neighbors are starting to wake up. And, you know, it was really encouraging to hear that. People were telling me that a lot of their friends and a lot of their neighbors are starting to wake up, but they're really, really kind of wondering what it is that they can actually do right now. They're starting to understand that something very nefarious is going on. We're seeing that by the amount of people that are coming out to our little group here in Terrace. But, you know, I believe we're at a tipping point. I honestly believe now that there's so much information coming out that they can't hide it anymore. So they're going to go into a very draconian state where they're going to bring forward stuff that's just going to knock people right off their feet. And well, I'll say that because of what they used to announce with all these restrictions over a variant, like I said, hasn't killed a single person in Canada. I mean, well, what does it take to figure that out? Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, it's gotten so bad that even the CBC is asking questions that the top doctors can't answer or find themselves stumbling over when they attempt to answer them. I was listening to the press conference that the that Nova Scotia's top medical officer, Robert Strang, was doing with Tim Houston on, I believe it was Friday, and a CBC journalist asked him, you know, we've been claiming, you know, to follow the epidemiology. And of course, they'll use these million-dollar words. At one point, the journalist couldn't even pronounce epidemiologically or something along those lines. It was just funny, right? Because you see them on TV with their suits and ties, and they're speaking the academic language, but in reality, they're not saying anything. So Strang, when asked, you know, why is it that certain provinces are doing certain things, but we're not doing the same things? And he says, well, you know, I've been trusting the science all along. Now, if other provinces, you know, if they want to look into whatever it is that they want to look into, and it comes back to this whole idea. Like, so trust the science, but don't trust the science in Quebec.
different science. It's different right across the country now.
Well, I came across an article, and I mean, I'm fluently bilingual. I run a French radio station, so I came across this article that was circulating in English, and of course, in English media, the only place that you'll find it is in the dark corners of the internet. I think it was called the People's World War. It's a website called the People's World War. So anyway,
a trusted site.
Well, right. But what was interesting with it, though, is they quoted Le Devoir. Now, Le Devoir is a French publication out of Quebec that I'm very familiar with. And as a matter of fact, it's a left-leaning publication for the most part. So you've actually got French language left-leaning publications. They announced on December 4th that they had halted immediately after 48 hours of use. They halted giving the booster to seniors over 60 that had tested positive for COVID-19 in the first round because it was killing them, like literally. And then they had the nerve to say, well, you know, we can't really, you know, old people dying in old folks' homes, we can't really tell if it's the jab that necessarily did it. You know, it wouldn't be fair to say that. But for a year and a half, they had no problem at all if someone had stage 4 cancer and kidney failure or two or three other comorbidities and tested positive for COVID while they died of COVID. Yeah. And now suddenly they've panicked us for a year and a half with case numbers. Now they want to focus on hospitalizations. And it's like living in the Twilight Zone. It's MK Ultra. It's MK Ultra unleashed on the general public, and some of us are dodging the bullets and the arrows, and others are just, you know, I feel like get off the beach, you know. You know that saying, get off the beach.
It just makes you wonder what insanity they're going to come up with next, Billy. But you know that they've all the new variants for the next 3 or 4 years have already been laid down, and the timeline for those introductions into society has been laid down. We know that our government is just, well, Trudeau signed deals with Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer for vaccines for the next I don't like to use that word, vaccine. Jibby Jabs, will call them, for the next 3 years.
I don't know. Something tells me their gig is going to be up before then.
I think that the whole, you know what? I'm honestly starting to see people that I put this question to those some friends that I sit with every morning that are sheeple, Billy. And I said, you know, we've all of a sudden, right across the country, we've seen blanket new restrictions almost word for word in each province after Trudeau sat down, had his meeting last week with the premiers of all the provinces. Now they've all come out with almost the identical new restrictions, draconian restrictions, to say the least. And all of a sudden, it's right across the country. But you ask them, well, wait a second, hold on. This variant, as far as I can see, and I've done my looking into this, and I look at the numbers, and Roger reiterated on this, and Wayne reiterated on this, that they can't find any deaths attributed to this new killer variant that's ravaging itself around the world right now, and justifying these kind of measurements on something that is absolutely 1,000% a nothing burger. What's wrong with people's ability to cognitively think about that, Billy?
Well, it's because literally, I sat back this afternoon and I was thinking about all this, and I thought about all the videos I produced the first time around when I was on YouTube, and there was the deep dive that I did into MK Ultra, and all the things that they actually tried and succeeded in doing during those experiments. And it was very clear from the reports that came from those studies that they knew how to very precisely use the media and frequencies to literally brainwash people. Now, some people have maintained a good level of vitamins. Some people smoke marijuana. And I'm not condoning drug use or anything, but some people say that marijuana use frees up the pineal gland, and that the pineal gland is what allows you to critically think. And oftentimes, from what we eat and what we drink, the pineal gland becomes what's called calcified. Yes. And certain herbs can actually help with preventing the calcification of the pineal gland, which basically stops you from ever being brainwashed. So it's a very real thing, and I've been guilty of it in the past. of being too hard on people, yeah. And we have to realize that a lot of the people that went out and got their two jabs trusted the people that told them to do it.
Well, talking about the pineal gland there, I get a doctor on my show quite often. His name's Dr. David Allen. And he's reputed to be one of the leading cannabis researchers in the world today, bar none. And that's exactly what he talks about, the effects of cannabis on that gland in your brain is just documented, and it's incredible. So I guess I admit I smoke cannabis, so maybe it's helping me decipher my way through this madness, Billy. I don't know, but
well, it's anyways, ironic. It's ironic because many of us. It's ironic because many of us do, right? I'm sure it's just coincidence, and I'm sure it's just coincidence that they labeled it an illegal drug for over a century, when most doctors carried it in their medicine bag. And even the oil, the derivative of it, right?
Well, the information now, we're not going to get into a cannabis conversation, Billy. No. I'll go for an hour on it. Right now, no problem, I can go for an hour on that subject, because I've, in the last years of talking to people and doctors and activists around the world and going to sites and seeing what effect this actually has on the human body, it is absolutely, I call it a gift from God, and it was designed for us to use, and it has, like I said, tremendous effects on the body. And that's just talking about the medicinal use. If we talk about the industrial application of cannabis to the planet right now, Billy, we could literally, and I'll say this very loud and clear, we could save the planet if we did what we need to do right now.
Yeah, it could replace fossil fuels. It could replace wood for paper. It could replace
everything in our society.
Clothing. Yeah, pretty much.
Everything that you're doing right now can be replaced.
If you want to segue into that, we get back to our bodies and what we're allowed and what we're not allowed to put into it. That rally that was held in New Brunswick, and we talk about tipping points. Atlantic Canada has always been the liberal – well, okay, maybe not always, but for the last 30 years or so has been the liberal bastion of Canada. And it seems that we're the ones that always fall flat on our face at elections and elect the most – draconian regimes that we possibly can. And when I saw 2,000 people in Moncton, New Brunswick 2 weeks ago, and now ever since I started this Rumble channel, even people locally that would have never ever messaged me before, messaging me and saying, the work you're doing is pretty phenomenal, exposing the hypocrisy and the lies. We'd never see it if you didn't show it. So it's just, I guess... And I'm trying to script the shows. I'm trying to be less aggressive in my tone. And it seems to be working. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to script the shows that I put on Rumble. And because I'm trying to make this a full-time gig for my family, my wife is helping me out with research and stuff. Because she – here's a funny one. She worked for Nova Scotia Health. Wearing a gown every day. Well, not every day, because she was hired as an administrative clerk. She was doing data entry. But if ever the COVID testing sites were overrun, my unvaccinated wife would don a gown and a mask and a shield and go stick those tests up people's nose. Oh, no. And she did that for 6 months, and she was fine doing it, and she was happy going to work every day and didn't bother her whatsoever. And that was right up until November 31st. She was fine to do it. And December 1st, all of a sudden, nope, not qualified to do it. You got to go home. You and 2,000 other clerks, nurses, COVID workers.
Yeah, the hypocrisy.
You know? And now they're canceling surgeries for cancer. Go figure. Yeah.
Over a nothing burger,
over a nothing burger, and over 2,000 healthcare workers at home, ready, capable, and willing to go to work, and they're not going to let them just because they refuse to be medically violated. I was going to use another word.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier today in one of my conversations, Billy, all people have to do is go look at the data. And study the data that's coming not just from Canada, but from around the world. And boy, if that doesn't get you thinking about what the heck is going on, especially when we see data as regards to the breakout of these new variants all being tied to people, guess what, that are double vaccinated. Imagine that, Billy.
Well, here in Nova Scotia, in Antigonish, where the home of St. Francis Xavier University, I'd say a few months ago, back in October, because you remember how I always say it's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. It's a battle,
is so.
Right?
So, it is.
So this preacher in northern Nova Scotia decides to hold, a retreat. Okay. And apparently there's one unvaccinated person that goes to this retreat, but they do the testing necessary and they test negative. But then apparently afterwards that one unvaccinated person tests positive. And then there's a quote unquote outbreak in that community. And then four people at a long-term care facility where everybody's double vaccinated pass away. And the media plays it off that this big bad pastor, this bad Christian pastor who believes in God, you know, he's a murderer because, you know, he allowed. So then fast forward, St. Francis Xavier University, they have their what's called their X-ring ceremony. And that night they have a party on campus at what's called Bloomfield Center. And there's a live band playing there. And my stepdaughter just so happens to go to school there. So we got the real story as soon as we heard about cases in Annie Ganesh. And the story was that at Bloomfield Center that night, people were drunk, without their masks, drinking. It turns out one of the band members ended up testing positive. So they lost all their gigs for the next 2 weeks. And then everywhere they played over the next two nights, everyone that was at those venues had been exposed.
Lock them down.
You know, so well, it turned out that it was basically a big outbreak.
Oh, no.
And the kick is on that campus at St. Francis Xavier, you need a vaccine passport to go there. And then, of course, there's kids there from all over Canada and all over the world that flew in for the X-ring ceremony. So their kids go to this party. The kids go to this party on campus and don't follow the proper quote unquote protocols. And then all these people from Ontario and Alberta and the United States and overseas all go back home having been exposed to this breakout where it's all double vaccinated people.
Imagine that, eh?
Well, and the last 5 days, I mean, we went from 1:30 to 1:30 to 2:50 to 390, and then over 400, and then today 476.
You're just a conspiracy theorist, Billy. This is all fake information. Where are you getting this stuff from?
I run a radio. What's funny is I run a radio station. It's like they forget because I get the email every morning. Communications Nova Scotia, latest COVID update from Dr. Strang and Premier Houston. So every morning I get it.
600 new cases.
And of course they assume that nobody saves emails, right? And I've got everything filed. Every email I've ever gotten on COVID cases, I have. So I can go back to a year, you know, like we're at 400 in some cases. It's like last year at this time, nobody was double jabbed. And we had, wait for it, five cases. you laugh because
what do you, buddy?
Well, you know, and what's worse is I've been screaming this on my tiny little community radio station for a year, and everyone here thinks I'm crazy. So then I was like, well, I may as well get it out in English. Maybe I can reach some people out there because it's all about spreading the seed, right? The seed may fall on fertile ground and it may bloom into something, but a lot of times it just falls on rock and it never ever grows. And man, I'll tell you what. Well, I was going to say, the island I live on is one giant rock.
Well, there you go. That explains it all, Billy. It really makes you shake your head, doesn't it? It's just like, you know, I'm not a really smart guy, but I got this all kind of figured out. I think I do anyways. So what's wrong with the rest of the population? Because we've gone from, 15 days to flatten the curve. We're 22 months, I believe, into this now, and we're back to square one. Really, folks, all you have to do is run that thought through your brain about how many people have died from this brand new outbreak of this killer variant that CNN today had it on their news that it's just ravaging itself, the word they use, ravaging itself across the United States of America. How many new cases were reported in Nova Scotia there this morning, Billy?
It's over 470. I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it's 476 or something.
So, okay, wait a second. Hold on. I don't understand. Now, they're testing
population of a million.
But how do they know if it's not the original or not the Delta?
Okay, well, here's
Omicron. How do they know which one is which? Do they have a new test just for this Omicron? because they have to if that's what they're calling it for.
Okay,
or is it a combination?
Okay, well, Barry, that's just it. I'm gonna read you an email I got. Okay, because it's disturbing because again, they're telling us Omicron's not serious. They're telling us the double vaxxed have it. They're telling us that they have mild symptoms because they're double vaxxed and they're young. Now, what's weird in all that is that when nobody was vaxxed and young people got it, do you remember how like 60 or 65% of the cases were asymptomatic?
Yep.
And it was usually in people 45 and under.
Yep.
Okay, so now all of a sudden, all these young people are double vaxxed and a portion of them are symptomatic. Now, so on the 17th, they held a press conference, Dr. Strang and Tim Houston, telling everyone that Omicron is not serious, no big deal, don't worry about it. Okay, this is Omicron they're talking about. But yet, listen to what they put out. It says, public service advisory, pop-up clinic for people with acute respiratory symptoms taking place at St. Francis Xavier today in response to COVID-19 activity in the Antigonish community. Nova Scotia Health is holding a pop-up clinic for people with acute respiratory symptoms. Now, at this point, I'm reading it and I'm like, okay, it must be like a pop-up clinic for testing. So if you're feeling sick, you go get tested because of the breakout. But hold on, wait for it.
No, come get your shot.
No, that's just it. I thought, okay, maybe that's it too. But listen to this. The clinic will be open for adults and children 6 months or older who are experiencing acute respiratory symptoms that cannot be managed at home. Wait for it. People who have tested positive for COVID can also book an appointment. So if you've tested positive, you can book one for the clinic and may be offered a virtual or in-person appointment. The clinic is not for people with chronic respiratory illness, for those with general health concerns or requiring prescription refills, or for COVID-19 testing or immunization. So it's not for testing. It's not for for immunization. It's not for people with chronic respiratory illness. It can be for people that tested for COVID-19, but for some reason it's open to 6 month olds to whatever, however old you can go to, and it's for respiratory symptoms that cannot be managed at home. So what is that? They're not telling us about something.
Well, we're seeing all these athletes, world-class athletes, dropping dead. Last night, a guy playing beer league hockey in Richmond, British Columbia here, died from a heart attack on the ice. And, of course, he was double vaccinated because any of the beer leagues in Canada now require you to be double vaccinated to play hockey. And, of course, that's the reason I'm not playing hockey this year, Wayne. But I knew that this was going to start happening. But this made the news that he died from cardiac arrest on the ice. Young guy playing hockey, this just doesn't happen, Wayne. It just doesn't happen. Or Billy, sorry, called you Wayne. But that's just one report.
That's okay. That's
coming. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks. That's a brain fart on my behalf. I was talking to Wayne, and I was just reading a link from Wayne. That's why I called you Wayne, Billy. He just brought that to my attention. So I shouldn't do that when I'm on the air. But anyways, go ahead. Didn't say I was a professional, folks. It is what it is.
No, I just find it odd that they had this clinic for acute respiratory symptoms that can't be managed at home. And then, of course, my wife worked in the system, and she says that usually the only time you have a pop-up clinic is if the hospital's overrun. And then you had this Dr. Vernon Coleman, who in March of 2021 said that when these variants would come along, that the unvaccinated would be much better protected than the double vaccinated, because by injecting the spike protein, what you're doing is in a nutshell rebooting your immune system. Correct. So in other words, that spike protein now goes into your system, and the spike proteins your own immune system is supposed to produce, well, are no longer produced because your body's tricked into only using those spike proteins. So so if you're supposed to produce spike protein, say for a liver condition, you may not, because the spike proteins for COVID are now predominant inside your system. That Coleman explains it a lot better than I do. But the other interesting thing is all the rumors I heard about vaccine shedding.
Yep.
I heard rumor. Well, it's not rumor. It's been confirmed. A 3-year-old boy ended up in the hospital on Thursday. Guess what he had? Acute respiratory symptoms that could not be managed at home. And this clinic was for 6-month-old to adults. And this 3-year-old boy lives with 2 vaccinated parents and a vaccinated big brother. And again, you can't prove it, but no one's even looking into it. It's not even being questioned. And that's what's disturbing, and that's what that doctor in New Brunswick that no one wanted to cover, that's what he said. He said because none of it makes sense scientifically, one must conclude that evil is afoot, that something very sinister is going on.
Yep.
And a lot of people can't wrap their heads around that something sinister.
A lot of people can't wrap their heads around the fact that the government would actually be doing something to destroy their future and their lives and everything they hold dear. My friend Roger talked about what you just talked about in the first hour there. Billy, if you get a chance, maybe go listen to that first hour, because he really kind of explained it in detail exactly how this is being – what they've actually created is a perfect bioweapon. And if that's the case, I'm going to have to stay completely away from vaccinated people. Because I sure as heck don't want that. And maybe that's even too late for me, because I have been in close contact with people I know are double vaccinated. And now I take that into context. It's like, wow, what are you going to do to keep yourself from coming in contact with this? It's like there's almost no escape. Go ahead.
Well, there's a friend of mine. Apparently, it's funny that you say Wayne Peters, because I think she may belong to some sort of community that Wayne belongs to. And they're looking into natural remedies that will actually help detoxify the effects of the spike proteins and what's in the vaccine. Some mm-hmm. say that even ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, hemp oil, CBD oil. I've even read that iodine. Do you remember growing up, we always had that bottle of iodine in the pharmaceutical cabinet?
Besides the cod liver oil?
Right, and it's not there anymore.
Wonder why.
I didn't realize that you can get that stuff in 5% concentrate, and you can mix it with water and drink it, and then you can actually use it as almost like a health test. I forget exactly the details, but you know how you put iodine on anything, it stains it. Well, apparently you put drops on your wrist, and the longer the stain stays on your wrist, the healthier you are, because your body will absorb iodine for as long as you're not healthy. And it will actually help you heal anything, any ailments you may have. That's what I was reading on it. I didn't read an abundance into it, but I was actually thinking of ordering some and trying it just to see. It can't hurt.
I've never heard of that, Billy.
It's the old stuff.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, apparently it's this natural stuff. Apparently there's stuff at Amazon that's no good. This stuff here has been around since the late 1800s, and it's very hard to find. You have to order directly from the website.
That's something I'm going to have to look into for sure. I just started putting pine needle tea into my diet, and I'm already feeling a difference in my body, Billy.
There you go, because that stuff produces hydroxychloroquine, does it not?
I'm not sure, but all I know is that I read one little bit of information about it, but I started using it because a friend of mine really, really highly recommended it. And we don't have any shortage of pine trees around here, so I went and got some needles and put it in a pot, and I simmered it for about an hour. And it's about the third day now that I've actually been drinking pine needle tea, and I could honestly say I'm starting to feel some changes already. So there's something you guys should look into.
There's good for you.
Lots of reports about that all over the world now, the effect of that on the human body.
It's amazing.
Everything in the world that is grown on this planet helps our body. All we have to do is get educated about it. And we can talk about lots of examples of that, Billy. Go ahead. But that's probably a subject for another day, because kind of let's stay maybe on what's going on with the insanity in Canada right now, what people can actually do right now to put a stop to this, because I'm hearing that question every day. What can I do as one individual, knowing something's really messed up, to put a stop to this? And there's lots you can do.
I would say stop being an individual and reach out to other groups that are doing this. And then once you're in that, and then once you're in that group, get that group to reach out to another group. And then those two groups reach out to other groups. I find what's happening a lot, like what I've seen happen in Nova Scotia, is let's say the healthcare workers get put on that unpaid leave of absence. Okay, well, you'll get maybe 50 healthcare workers gathering in Halifax. And then the postal workers will do something. There will be 25 people on the side of the street. And then the plow drivers will, the people that service our roads in the wintertime, they'll get together and they'll have a little protest of 25 people. And what happens with those little protests is the police show up. Now, when you consider what happened in New Brunswick, the RCMP in Moncton that morning put out a tweet telling the people in Moncton, their words were, "We're asking the public to stay away from Main Street, Moncton, downtown Moncton area. The RCMP are carrying out an operation."
Wow.
Okay,
this is
so
Canada, eh?
That's right. This is Canada. This is New Brunswick. And ironically enough, in Prince Edward Island that day and in Nova Scotia, there were similar groups rallying, and both of those were interrupted by none other than the RCMP. And I really believe that their intent in Moncton was to go arrest people, and when they saw 2,000 people, there was nothing they could do. Mm. And when they realized there was nothing they could do, they just had to let it happen. And then the media kicked in. Oh, it's 500 anti-vaxxers allegedly protesting mandates. Come on, all you had to do was send a camera down there. You've got a budget of millions of dollars a year, if not billions, and you're telling me you can't send a camera down there and listen to the doctor or listen to the 12-year-old that ended up in a wheelchair 4 years after taking her second shot? Yeah, you can't put that on TV so that people can make an informed decision, because that's what this all comes down to, is it's medical experimentation without informed consent.
Absolutely,
and that's
the big one.
That's a crime against humanity. I'm sorry, and coercion. What they're doing by forcing people out of work, not only are they putting people on unpaid leaves. Once you're put on that unpaid leave, you don't qualify for the employment insurance you've been paying into for possibly two decades.
Mm. They've got it all figured out, don't they, Billy?
Right? They just squeeze.
Evil.
And at the same time they're doing that, my wife went to the store the other day for a 12-pound turkey, $70.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
A double rack of rib, $55.
Yeah. Well, every time I go to the grocery store, I see prices going up and up and up. But what do you expect when a government borrows as much money as this government has against our economy in the last 18, 19 months fighting this killer pandemic? I mean, every dollar they print out of thin air makes your dollar worth less and less and less. We're following almost the exact model that Venezuela followed, and we know where they ended up, Billy. We're heading down that same road.
Well, you're right, Barry, but the people that are not suffering right now are those politicians and the corporations that they're in bed with that are living off our tax dollar, playing Zoom meeting on our dime. And so we can't even go protest our provincial buildings and our elected officials because they're all hiding in the house meeting by Zoom.
It wasn't that convenient that the NDPs and Liberals got together and made that happen. Billy, nothing to see there, buddy. Just a coincidence.
Yeah, but every provincial government's doing it.
I know.
That's the sad part. Like our MLA, where I live in Richmond County, Nova Scotia, he spends his time showing off how he's double vaxxed and he goes to all these events fully masked. And he posts in the Facebook and selfies. Now, here's one scary one. He posted one last week where he's at the blood bank giving blood. And, of course, I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, okay, so you're double vaxxed. I may need surgery one day, and I'm watching you contribute your spike protein-filled blood to the blood bank. I'm thinking, you know, someday my blood and my swimmers may very well be very valuable.
You'll be worth a million, buddy. We'll all be worth a million soon.
Think about it.
If we can keep this crap out of our body. I think what we got to do now is actually go to a blood bank somewhere where they can store your blood for a length of time and donate your own blood and have it put away just in case you ever do need surgery, because a majority of the blood that we're going to be dealing with, of course, is going to have these jibby jabs swimming all over the place in it. How are you going to avoid it?
Well, 1 second, okay, Barry. My dog wants to go outside here. 1 second.
Imagine that.
Yeah, the poor bugger. He's crying. 1 second.
Yeah, my dog does that once in a while.
When I'm on the air. Just one second.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Darn dogs, eh? There's no timing them, guys. They just, when they want to go, they want to go. And Milo's done that to me a few times on the air, but we'll let him go. We'll forgive him. But yeah, great information coming forward here today, guys. It's absolutely, it's almost like we're in a la-la land, but we are.
I'm back, Larry. I got one of my daughters to do the dirty deed. They're going to put the dog out for me.
I heard him whining there in the background a couple times, Billy. So I kind of figured he was getting ready for a bathroom break.
It's either he wants a bathroom break or he's jealous of you. Because if he sees me with the headphones on speaking to this laptop, I think he thinks the laptop is a person and he gets jealous because he just turned 5. And I think he thinks he turned 5 months and that he's actually a child and he needs affection 24/7 or he's not content. It's quite comical to see that 90-pound pit bull behaving like literally a baby.
But, yeah, well,
sorry, we got off topic.
Billy, one of the best things in life is having a dog. Okay,
you're right. You are correct.
I've always had dogs, buddy, and I love them to death. My problem with my dog, I was listening to a video the other day here, and I had it on speaker, and they were talking about all these animals now that are getting infected with COVID-19, and it was starting to filter. And he heard this on the radio, and it's starting to filter into house pets, you know, and your dog might be getting COVID-19, so you got to get a vaccination for the dog. When he heard that, man, he just started no way, Dad.
Did you see the actual article that CBC put out about the two white-tailed deer that tested – headline – no, seriously, I am not joking with you.
I saw it, Billy.
Two white-tailed deer in Quebec test positive for the virus that causes COVID. I'm looking at that. I'm like, doctor? What? Okay, so they're telling us on TV that the healthcare systems are overrun, but some doctor has enough time to go in the woods looking for deer to test for COVID-19. Like that? That makes a whole lot of sense. That makes as much sense as that story they put out with the mannequin and then had to apologize when truthers saw that it was a mannequin they were using on television.
When this gets out to the public, the deer are going to be safe in this hunting season, aren't they, Billy?
Well, the other thing is how many people, when they go get their FAC, claim that they're getting it to hunt deer. So if you can prove that the deer population is carrying COVID and you don't want people to eat deer anymore and there's no need for hunting rifles, well, then there's another check mark on the list of reasons why we need to come get your firearms.
Yeah, you see the attack on firearms in Canada right now, Billy. It's right off the charts. But, of course, we know that's part of the agenda. We got to disarm the public because tyranny is going to keep increasing, and one day they're going to want to go into an armed rebellion against us, and we're going to have rakes and we're going to have pitchforks and maybe a couple crossbows to go up against their toys. So obvious what they're doing with that agenda. But people are buying into it, my friend. Look what Australia did.
Population
10 years ago, and look what's happening there.
It makes you wonder now, what's interesting with that? I can't remember if we spoke about this in this show. I've been going through so much information, or if we spoke about this on the phone earlier, but you've heard of what's going on in the Ukraine. The mainstream media narrative is that Russia's on the verge of attacking Ukraine and taking it over. That's the narrative we're hearing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. How many people stopped for a moment and thought for just a second that the Ukraine is the same country where Joe Biden was accused of having those crooked deals with Burisma? So that's factor one. Ukraine is also the country where, I'd say it was probably a month ago, I saw footage of the Ukrainian people who were getting fed up with these mandates that were imposed at the time and lockdown measures. In the Ukraine, the police do not have firearms. They wield plastic shields, those big plastic shields, and they wield billy bats. And the people of the Ukraine decided to arm themselves with fire hoses with brass, you know, the big fire hoses with the brass fittings on the end, the big brass nozzles on the end.
Mm-hmm. So imagine about 5 pounds.
Well, right. And a fire hose, if you're strong enough, you could probably whip that fire hose, I'd say 20 feet out. And from the video footage I saw, that's exactly what they did. And the police actually seemed to surrender. Fast forward 2 weeks, and then I get more video footage coming out of the Ukraine because I can see the Ukrainian flags in the background. So that's how I can tell it's in the Ukraine because people are flying Ukrainian flags. So I doubt it's anywhere else. Maybe I'm wrong to jump to that conclusion, but this is the video footage that's coming out from regular people that have phones in their pockets. And they're literally taking politicians and throwing them into dumpsters.
Yeah, I saw that. I would laugh, man.
And nobody's...
Where was Trudeau?
Well, and the question I have is, what's more likely? Is it more likely that the same government that was accused of being in cahoots with Biden in that Burisma deal and all that, I guess you could call it fraud or cronyism or whatever it is you want to call it, corruption. What's more likely that that government is being overthrown by the people? They're offering resistance because they're the government, and Russia's actually going in to help the people. And the media in North America, because they're controlled by the likes of Biden and Trudeau, are giving us the spin of big bad Russia. Because you always need big bad Russia. Like, I'll watch CTV News Atlantic. So this is – it's supposed to be geared for Atlantic Canada. And it was one of the first videos I did when I came back where I was sitting there on a Saturday. It was the day of the New Brunswick rally. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, 2,000 people in New Brunswick. I wonder if CTV Atlantic News Live at 6 o'clock. So they had 3 hours from the time it was over to show us footage and be down there and interview people and everything else. So I'm like, okay, it's our source for news in Atlantic Canada. So they open up with the regular COVID stuff. The next thing I know, they're talking about tornadoes in Kentucky. And then it's Russia is invading Ukraine. And I'm like, okay, so 2,000 angry Canadians in the streets of New Brunswick protesting these mandates with doctors and vaccine adverse effect victims and you name it, like just 2,000 people packing the streets in New Brunswick. And CTV News Atlantic is talking about, well, because they got to put in the climate change and, of course, big bad Russia. So tornadoes in Kentucky. And don't get me wrong, it's worth mentioning those things. But how is that more important to Atlantic Canadians? Tornadoes in Kentucky, Russia invading Ukraine, or 2,000 protesters and doctors saying that they're treating patients with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and that what the establishment is doing is crimes against humanity. I wonder why they're not showing us, you know.
Well, anytime they mention anything with climatic disasters like the tornadoes in Kentucky, of course, in the same sentence, climate change is going to be included in the conversation because that's the narrative they're trying to drive into people's heads that we're responsible for this. And it's just another example of what us big bad humans are doing to the planet. And we got to make these draconian changes. I mean, their narrative is so easy to see and never changes, Billy, but it's effective, unfortunately. It basically society is hypnotized. A lot of society is hypnotized. And I forget the name of the doctor I listened to talk about that. I can't remember his name. I'm going to go find that video again, but it absolutely made total sense to me when he explains to what's going on in society right now. Go ahead.
And a lot of people are refusing to acknowledge that all of this is tied into the United Nations Sustainable Development Agreement.
Of course.
Every single municipality across Canada, when you go look at the verbiage that they use around that table, whenever they're doing what they call their strategic planning, and in French they call them des plans quinquennales, and, you know, 5-year plans for this and 5-year plans for that. Mm-hmm. When you go read through there, you'll see everything that you see in the United Nations Sustainable Development Agreement. You'll see sustainable development this and sustainable development that and private-public partnerships. I mean, in Nova Scotia, we've been doing those public-private partnerships for years with the schools. You know, in Nova Scotia, we got private corporations running our power company. It's just everything's backwards, but we got the government running our liquor stores and selling our marijuana.
And now they're in your schools and they're everywhere else, man. Private corporations mandating the narrative in the school. That's going to work out good, isn't it, Billy?
Well, and they own everything. They literally own everything. The media, the media in Atlantic Canada, 80% of all print and radio is owned by none other than J.C. Irving himself. And J.C. Irving, you go look at J.C. Irving, he's got ties to the Trudeaus dating back to before Pierre Trudeau was prime minister. Yep. So if the Irvings own 80% of the radio stations, like where I live, the most popular radio station here is called 101.5 The Hawk, and it was owned and operated by a local couple They built it from the ground up, built it into a multi-million dollar radio station, and sold it to the highest bidder. And of course, the highest bidder turned out to be a group called Acadia Broadcast Systems. So most people will say, okay, well, Acadia Broadcast Systems, interesting, but they don't look any further. You go do a registry of joint stocks search for Acadia Broadcast Systems, and you see that it's registered to J.C. Irving. So The same company that owns Irving Shipbuilding, which receives $40 billion contracts from the government every year, and the same company that pretty much has a monopoly on our lumber in Atlantic Canada, are the same company that owns the media. So do we ever expect that we're going to hear the truth on those radio stations about Justin Trudeau or anybody else? Do you think the Irvings are going to risk a $40 billion shipbuilding contract to tell the truth about Justin Trudeau and his scam with SNC-Lavalin? I doubt it, right?
Well, it's a big party and we're not invited, and it's just a big circle of friends doing for each other what they can get away with, Billy. And this has been going on for a long time in our country.
Well, you know what? I've always wondered why and how I ended up in media, because I don't have any formal training. I pretty much left a lumberyard to run a radio station based on the fact that the president of the organization back then knew that I sang. I had a good knowledge of music and I had a decent voice. And that's how that started. And then I did 6 weeks of intense training at what was called the World Francophone Games, which is basically the equivalent of the Olympics for countries where French is one of the official languages. So that was like a 2 month crash course in journalism, hosting, doing stories, building, you know, in French we call them des chroniques. I'm not sure what you call them in English, all kinds of stuff. And then I was thrown into it. But because I was thrown into it and approaching it from a naive perspective and not coming from that background of, okay, well, your aspiration when you go to Nova Scotia Community College and study broadcasting is to get to the CBC. And then you discover that to get to the CBC, well, sometimes you can't necessarily break that big story because that big story might make someone who's closely connected to the prime minister or the premier look bad. So, I got to sweep that one under the rug, because tonight I'm invited to the Chateau Laurier to have wine and a $150 supper with that same politician that I can't really write that bad article about. And I've seen it firsthand. And I know where we get our news. It's either from Reuters, it's either from the Associated Press or the Canadian Press. Yeah. And all three of those, Reuters is owned by the Thompsons. It's one family that owns that company.
Or Bell Media. They're all got their fingers in that.
Actually, the Rothschilds do.
Billy, doesn't matter what media we talk about. All main media is controlled in this country.
Yes.
And that's the biggest enemy of the people right now. If we actually got the information out to people that they need, you'd see this whole thing come crashing down overnight.
It's a psyop.
Of course it is. And they are complicit. And they're traitors to the country.
It's an attempt at a complete mind control. And they do it. It's trauma-based mind control. They've traumatized
fear,
us.
Fear.
Well, the radio station I work for, we allowed the local school to share letters to Santa. So the very first day I play the very first letter to Santa, and in there this child is telling Santa that she wants Santa to help her friend it's French, so I'm trying to think of the word. I guess anxious, too anxious or too worrisome. And he's like, Santa, this is what I mean. The other day, that friend told me that they had COVID-19, but I told her, you're being too anxious. If you had COVID-19, you'd be in the hospital. So we were talking statistics earlier. I've memorized these. And if people take out their calculators, we have 38 million people in Canada. 1.8 million people. This is the last numbers from about 2 weeks ago. 1.8 million people had tested positive. So that's, I think it's 99.85% of Canadians didn't get it. Out of the 1.8 million that got it, 30,000 died. So that's 99.89 that had it that didn't die. And then 30,000 out of 38 million Canadians, 99.996 Canadians survived this so-called pandemic. Those are actual numbers. I was a little shocked when I calculated them myself, to be honest with you.
Well, then factor into that equation, Billy, that when the PCR tests are ramped up to 40 cycles, I've heard reports that they get as high as 90% false positives.
So how many
cases are we actually experiencing? I mean, they've been using that mechanism to bring the case counts up right from the beginning. This isn't the death line hasn't changed, Billy. It's just a case-demic. And people got to understand that cases mean nothing. When in history have we tested everybody in society to find out if they actually had a flu virus? Have we ever done that before?
But never.
It's all part of the mechanism of keeping this idea that there's a pandemic going on in our society. This so-called pandemic, folks, has never even reached close to the parameters of what it takes to be classified as a pandemic. Go look up the numbers. Go look it up. It'll blow your mind. But, of course, it is such a great mechanism to keep that fear virus alive and stirring in people's brains. And, boy, what an effective weapon that virus is, Billy.
Well, it's the media that's the weapon.
Well, media perpetrating fear. And fear really has a incredible effect on the human brain, man. It scrambles your brain. You cannot think properly when your brain is in a state of fear. And they use it all the time. And it's over nothing. Period. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just not sure where we go from here. All we can do is keep waking people up and hopefully... You get the Mounties for Freedom that are doing things. There are lawyers all over the country doing things. There are lawyers in Germany and Poland doing things. It's only a matter of time. I can't see this charade lasting too much longer. People are going to get fed up. And I think the real deal breaker is going to be when they announce that these boosters are mandatory. As soon as they announce that in order to be considered fully vaccinated, you need your booster, heads are going to explode, because I would say well over 50% of the people that I know that are double vaxxed are saying, I'm not going for any more and I regret taking these.
Yep. But that's, of course, the narrative that's going to come forward. Absolutely guaranteed. They're going to announce that the first two Jibby jabs are only effective for a certain amount of time. And if you don't take a new Jibby jab, your vaccine passports, which you think is your new path to freedom in this country, which is only making you more and more a prisoner every time you use it, is not going to be worth a coon's poop. So you'll be forced to take a booster. And that's what's coming down the tubes. We also know, we heard Moderna already announced that they're developing a vaccine at light speed right now to battle the new Omicron variant, man. Can you believe this crap? It hasn't killed a person. What? Hang on for a second, man. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to take their foot off the pedal, Billy. We're going to stand up to it, though. We're going to stop this crap. Go ahead.
It was all predicted. It was all predicted. And all we can do now is sit back and see what happens, because we really don't know what's going to happen. We're only heading into winter now. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know that I've had two first cousins, the two of them under 65. One of them this summer had just gone for a full physical. He had found a new doctor, was given a clean bill of health. Last week was outside shoveling snow, shoveled two driveways, dropped dead of heart attack. When they did the autopsy, it was revealed that he had two benign tumors in glands that they were unaware of and a heart condition. Mm. So that's one cousin. 6 weeks before that, my other cousin, he had gone shopping that morning for a new bicycle helmet, went to the campground where his brother was kind of wrapping up and picking up for the season to visit his brother. Went back home, stopped for gas, somehow passed out in his car. Paramedics found him in the parking lot, took him to the hospital, airlifted him to Halifax, and he died of massive blood clots to his heart. And then my wife's uncle, 65 years old, relatively healthy, he had had knee surgery 3 weeks prior, so of course that's what they ended up blaming. But for him, it was two blood clots to the lungs. And we're talking a contractor. Now, when I got operated, they put compression socks on me. And after 72 hours, they told me that I was out of the dark, like in the clear now for blood clots. It shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
So all that being said, you've got doctors 6 months ago or 8 months ago saying that mRNA vaccines, what they do is they stop the protein that prevents tumors from developing. Well, they prevent that protein from working properly.
Right.
So you combine that with the myocarditis. And so I went to my aunt and uncle's, my godfather and his wife, for a Christmas meal, the entire family. They start talking about my cousin. I just start asking simple questions.
Yep.
I'm told to shut up.
Right. And then, can't talk about that.
Yeah. And then I tell my kids, okay, we're leaving. And then someone says, you're just trying to push an agenda. And then I tried dropping statistics, and my aunt opened the door and showed me the door and told me to leave.
Really, so we're out of time.
That's what we're dealing with. I'm kind of glad I got that in, because that's what I've been dealing with. And the cognitive dissonance is bad. We got to be patient. We got to be loving. You can follow me on Rumble, BitChute, Twitter. All the links are in the description of my videos. Go on Rumble. Look for Canada's Red Pill, Billy Joyce. I thank you very much, Barry.
Billy, always a pleasure having you in, and I recommend you folks, you go follow Billy, because he's putting out some incredible stuff. Welcome back to the fight, buddy. You were missed.
Thank you very much. No F-bombs. I'm proud of myself.
Hey, you got through it, buddy, and we're going to have you back again, Billy, if you'll oblige me in the near future.
I will. It'll be my pleasure, Barry. Thanks very much. God bless you. God bless your listeners. Merry Christmas, and the best in the new year.
Okay, bye for now, Billy.
Take care.
Well, folks, what an enjoyable show that was today. I hope that everybody learned a little bit, maybe got some information shared with them that they haven't heard before. I know we reiterate on a lot of points, but it's things that absolutely drive me crazy, especially when it comes to our children. We all really got to stand in front of the mirror and ask ourselves why we're allowing this to go on with our children. We know that this is evil. We know that this is hurting our kids. So my plea today at the end of this show is that we all do everything we can to put a stop to this evil, evil, evil going on in our society. Thanks for coming in today and lending us an ear. Thanks to Steve, as always, for producing my show. I love you guys. I don't think I'll be doing a show next Sunday because it's Boxing Day, and I'm supposed to be going out for dinner a couple times that day. So I'll see you in about a couple weeks. And thanks for joining us. God bless you all. Have a great, great, and happy Merry Christmas. Bye for now.